Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies to the Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through shakeandwakeradio.com and being simulcast on the Truth Be Told radio networks. Thanks for joining the show today, and I always like to start the show off with a little plug for the stations. A cup of coffee a month towards what these people are trying to do and the information they're bringing forward would be much appreciated by the people that run these stations. A lot of the times, the feeds are coming out of their pockets. And, in my world, that's all wrong. So if you can help them out with a cup of coffee a month, I know they'd much appreciate it. I always like to start the show with thanking my producer for what he does for me every week because I always forget at the end of the show. So thanks, Steve. You're a blessing in my life. To say that I'm honored to have my guest on here for the first hour, I have Laura Lynn Thompson in for a conversation. Laura does regular programs every day of the week, and she's involved in so many other things. And for her to take an hour out on Sunday here on kind of supposed to be a day of rest, I'm absolutely pleased to have you on, Laura. And it's nice to have you back. It's been, I think, about a year since I've actually had you on the show. So welcome back. And like I said, I always like to start the show with your biggest pet peeve of the week. So why don't we get into that, and then we'll start talking about some stuff we want to talk about.
Well, my biggest pet peeve probably, it just really, sits around everything that our own prime minister is saying and calling us misogynists and racists. That I just can't get past that. I am so upset. I see what's going around. I mean, there is a... there's one of those things that you can sign, and you with change.org, and you can hopefully make a difference that way. But where is our Conservative Party of Canada standing up and screaming out about what is happening to this country and the segregation and basically the bullying that's going on to one part? So that is my biggest pet peeve. Other than that, I did find myself actually wearing two of the same sock, and that was annoying because for 30 years I haven't worn the same socks, like on two feet. And I looked down last night and somehow I reached into a drawer full of socks that do not match, and I ended up with two of the same socks, and I thought that was really bad. So
oh my God, Laura.
That is,
are
yeah,
you over?
That is bothering me a lot. Like, how does that happen? It was completely by accident, but once in 30 years, you will actually pull out of a barrel of socks two of the exact same socks. So anyways, that's something that started a long time ago when I was young. But I'm so pleased to be here, Barry. I know that you fight an awful lot. You fight very hard. You give the information. I'm very alarmed. I'm not happy. I woke up today to all kinds of bad news. Rocco Galati is sick and he's in the hospital right now. So we're sad for him. And we're praying. We're praying for him that he will come through this, as our other Patriot friends have done. Mark Friesen was also in with COVID and intubated, and he came through. We literally pulled together a mass of amazing prayer warriors across the country that prayed him out of that. I orchestrated it so that they could call into Sean Taylor, who was the nurse that was, he's a fire nurse, looking after Mark. And we tried to have one person a day pray out loud in his room. And then I got Sean to play some music and inspirational teachings to him. And we got him through, but we are watching, some of the ravages of COVID-19. And on the same hand, a lot of us, we've had COVID, we've survived COVID. Like myself, it was really nothing. My husband had it. He had, a fever for 3 days. We took ivermectin. We took hydroxychloroquine. We took all of our vitamins, overdosed on vitamin D. It was just spectacular. And we got through it, as most people do. So, all of the nonsense that we're hearing and dealing with is very disturbing on the other side.
Yeah, actually, Hitler, Hitler talked, I mean, Justin talked the other day, and his words were exactly the same words that Hitler used in the Second World War, prior to the Second World War, to convince the Jewish people, convince the German people that the Jewish people were the problem. The words were almost word for word exactly what Hitler said back in, I think it was 1937, he made that speech to the German people. So Trudeau is really showing his true colors. I honestly believe now they've come out and they're talking about the mandatory vaccines. I think that will be the tipping point for a lot of Canadians when that might be the thing that's going to take to wake Canadians up to the fact that this is nothing to do
with the virus. Barry,
that's a good question.
Yeah.
I ask myself that every day, Laura.
But I can't believe they weren't already awakened. Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't think you should be awakened when the VAERS reports or are we able to say anything on your show, Barry? Or
you can say whatever you want. I want you to let them. I want you to unload on them today, yeah. Laura. You know, because we've got to cut right to the chase now. Go ahead.
Yep. By the CDC's own, estimations, there's an awful lot of people that have died post-vaccine and within a very short period of time. So we have VAERS reports that are showing these numbers. I thought everyone would be awakened by investigating an experimental drug that they want to give you for a 99.7% recovery virus. I thought actually that Canadians were smarter, and I've been absolutely in shock as our the government has fallen to this, and of course Trudeau using it as a way to get tyrannical control over us, calling us misogynist, calling us racist, yes, indeed, using the same words as Hitler, basically saying that we don't believe in science and asking if Canada should tolerate these people and basically saying that we're taking up space. Well, that's absolutely shocking. And meanwhile, we've got more and more vaccinated people winding up in the hospitals, vaccinated people getting COVID, getting sick, and spreading the vaccinated people have spread Omicron across the globe. We unvaccinated weren't allowed to fly. I mean, this is a joke. It's a colossal joke, and I think God laughs in the heavens at all of it. He thinks this is hysterical, and all of their planning and scheming is going to be the undoing of them. But you're right. This thing, I just got something from a friend here that she says she cannot find the actual intel, like she can't get the verification, but it does look, and of course we know that our chief health officers and whatnot would like to see forced vaccination come in. I mean, this is the tipping point. I pray it is. I'm shocked that we weren't already there. When you're not allowed to eat in restaurants, everybody, when your churches are demanding, if you want to come to Jesus moment, you got to get a vaccine in order to just walk in the door of a church while people are committing suicide in record numbers and overdosing, don't you think something's already wrong? When we're putting masks on kids and we're delaying studies and we're literally abusing children, they are overwhelmed. They can't even breathe in those stupid things. Shouldn't we already have known that this was, you know, something to be very alarmed about? But apparently Canadians in record numbers, I mean, British Columbia is shocking to me. I pray there's a turnaround, but everywhere I go, people are walking outside with their masks on and their children have masks on. They've all lost their minds that they're not listening. But of course we can't totally blame them because maybe they just don't have time to listen to Barry Sharp. You know, and they don't have time to watch Laura Lynn, so they're watching CBC or listening to it on the radio, whatever they can get, the propaganda machine, and they just don't really get it. But once they start getting it, my concern is how angry they are that you're telling them the truth. They're angry when you're giving them the facts. They are so upset that you're telling them that this vaccine they already took is not too good and has already killed several, you know, thousand people. Well, that's alarming because if I got good information and if somebody could show me on a VAERS site that even the CDC acknowledges that that this is a problem, then I would want to know that. So what has happened to people's critical thinking? Did this just come up in 2020 or did we actually have a problem in 2010 that was festering and our decline of our society, the decline of not honoring true science and data with respect to gender, even not honoring true science and data with respect to a lot of things, even climate and all of that, instead going for the propaganda and allowing our news establishments to become the god of Canada is now the news. CBC, CTV, Global.
We're paying them for our demise, Laura. Isn't that ironic, eh?
Yes.
I mean, we support the CPC with our tax dollars, and here they are just a propaganda machine for the Liberal government. It is absolutely, completely, it's criminal. It is. And I believe their time for accounting is going to come. We talked there a few minutes ago about the amount of people that are being diagnosed with this new killer variant, Omicron, which I still can't find a single death in Canada for.
But what
you said about the vaccinated people representing a majority of the breakouts. Well, I looked at Israel, I looked at France, I even have notes today. Look at that, Laura. Four places I looked at: Germany, France, Israel, and Taiwan. And the numbers just are absolutely mind-boggling. That it's somewhere between an average of 79% to 85% of the new breakouts are people that are being, that have been double jabbed. And now, of course, if they're coming along and going, wait a second, guys, we're finding out that these vaccines, they don't last as long as we thought they would. So you're going to have to get a booster if you want your vax passport, which a lot of people thought was their pass to freedom, is now not going to be any good unless you take this booster. And of course, we know it's going to be another booster and then another booster. There's a new variant coming out already on top of the Omicron. I heard about that last night. They're going to bring out another variant, another vaccine. Moderna's already telling us that they got the vaccine for.
About the new variant.
It's an. You know what, folks? Anybody out there that really wants to look into this, just go look at the data, because as much as they want to lie to us, as much as the propaganda machine just keeps filling our heads with this crap, go look at the data. The data speaks for itself. They cannot hide that. And what Laura talked about a few minutes ago, the Veracyte alone, the underreporting. I've looked into that a lot, Laura, and there's been university studies done on the amount of cases that are actually out there as opposed to the cases that are being reported. You can say the same thing about vaccine industries, and you can say that for the last 15 years that it's been vastly underreported. Well, we're seeing that with VAERS, but VAERS now, I looked at it 2 days ago, and I think the number I saw was 17. It's hard to get an exact number, but 17,300 now have died from the vaccine, and that is probably maybe 1/10 of the actual people that are dying from it.
This,
how long has it been around now, folks? We're just in the first year of this. We have no idea at all what this is going to do to people 2 or 3 years down the road. But the thing that bothers me the most, Laura, about this whole situation is what they're doing to our children. And that just, it tears my heart out when I know little children who are innocent, that are looking forward to a nice life on this planet, are being absolutely destroyed by something that should never, ever be put into a child's body. And yet society is allowing this to go on. Laura, that is my pet peeve of the year. It drives me insane, and it brings me to tears when I think about what's happening to our kids. We've got to put a stop to that, Laura. That is just lunacy.
Yep, and I just interviewed a guy, Barry, that he's a dad, and he's had a really difficult separation divorce. Many of us have been through things like this. And I can see that, you know, it's been a very difficult thing. But what happens is mom and dad, now divorced, are on completely different pages regarding child vaccine. So the mom says she's going to listen to the government and she's going to vaccinate their 7-year-old daughter. He is now on the run in Canada, and I do not know where he is specifically. And he's on the run because he knows and has looked into all of the data on child vaccinations. He's listened to, you know, Dr. Peter McCullough. He's listened to the inventor of the mRNA. What's his face? I always know his name. JT. I always call JT when I can't. You know the guy. He invented mRNA. And
We'll bring it up. We'll bring it up before the show's over.
I know. It's going to come to us. So I'll be able to get it right now. But he listens to all of them, and he doesn't want his child vaccinated. So what ends up happening is that he runs. He's got his child. There's a warrant out for his arrest. And I do not agree, you know, with going against court orders and being on the run for any reason. And yet I find myself going, oh, my gosh, if I had a 7-year-old who I'm assuming I would just be the heart and breath of my life and you know, would give my life to defend that child. And I had an ex-husband who wanted to vaccinate that kid. I'd be freaking out, and I might be doing the exact same thing as this guy, you know? So,
well, if you put yourself in his shoes,
Robert
what would
Malone,
you do?
I know Dr. Robert Malone is the inventor of the mRNA, and Dr. Robert Malone has cautioned everyone. This guy invented mRNA. He is putting himself, he has even been vaccinated. I don't know if he'd do it again because he's learning everything of what's going on, but he said, you cannot do this. He listed all the reasons. We've played the clip several times on our show. So, yes, we have an absolutely huge problem. Not only that is what Peter McCullough just came out with. And I don't know if you ever play clips on your show, but there's a 2-minute doozy of a clip where Peter McCullough is unloading some information that I think is profound. Also, Dr. Nagase, and I don't know if you've had him on your broadcast yet, but he has been unloading what Pfizer knew, the deaths they knew of. And basically, Pfizer knew that there was a 30%, including deaths and long-term disabilities, those that do not recover from harms that they get from their Pfizer shot, 30% issues, long-term effects, and they let this get out of the market and go. And that's why Pfizer's trying to hide all their data, right? They want it to take, you know, the next 100 years to produce any of the data. So we're all long gone, you know, and if, you know, our loved ones aren't dead anyways, within a short period of time from what's going on with this, it's just shocking. So there are some judges, thank God, that are ordering Pfizer to produce much more data in a much faster manner. But now what we're seeing is they knew that there were harms. And they're doing it. Like, the world has gone bonkers, and we're not paying attention.
Yeah, they're ordered now by September to release all that information to the public, where they asked for 75 years. Well, why would anybody want 75 years to release information to the public about something that the public is using? That alone should get the alarm bells ringing in anybody's mind. What are they trying to hide? But like you said, fortunately, there's some honest judges. And I just read about the fact that they're being ordered now by September to release all that data to the public. But even then, by then, Laura, the amount of vaccines that they're getting into people's bodies right now, I wish they were forced to expose that information tomorrow, because we have this thing called informed consent in our society where, you know, people are not getting the information about the side effects that you go in to get your jibby jab. They don't tell you any of the positive possible side effects, yet by law they're supposed to do that. But they're bypassing all this, and they're just going ahead and sticking this into children's arms, Laura. And that, I'm telling you, there is a special, I'll say this, I shouldn't say this, but because I'm not God, but I believe there's a special place in hell waiting for these people that are knowingly hurting our children. And not just hurting them, killing them. I had a conversation with my friend down the state that you had on your show, and he got you in a little bit of trouble because he brought up a controversial subject. So you know who I'm talking about. I had a chat with him this morning, Laura, and he says, Barry, the numbers that I'm starting to get now of children dying from being jibby-jabbed in the States, he says it's just appalling. I'm going to have him on next week, and he's going to expose a lot of this to the public. But they're trying to hide these numbers, but they're not going to be hide for long, Laura. If these people that are doing this to the children, I just don't know what to say. If I was a parent and I took government information as factual and I went ahead and had my child vaccinated, and a week or 2 weeks later my child died, or my child developed a permanent disability that's going to affect them for the rest of their life, how would you deal with that as a parent? I mean, that's a burden that nobody should be having placed on them, yet we're going to have a lot of parents with that burden on their shoulders. Because it's already coming out, Laura, that this is absolute insanity, that it does not belong in a child's body, period. Children are not affected
100%.
By this at all.
How do you feel about playing this quick 2-minute clip, though, from Peter McCullough? Is that
I would love
broadcast?
It.
Because I got it right here. Right, and to me, it's so shocking. Your viewers have to hear this. Okay, hang on.
Please do.
The one that really it hit in the last 2 months, and this could be the largest estimate we have seen regarding vaccine deaths so far in the literature. Now, this ends up being published on ResearchGate, This is the same preprint server that the National Institutes of Health uses for their autopsy. So I can tell you.
Is this connected to the Columbia number you were talking about?
This is the Columbia number. This paper was published by Spiro Pantazatos and Hervé Seligman from Columbia University in New York, New York. They used census data as well as vaccine administration data and looked at the time of death. Now, we know the time of death when it comes within a narrow window. For instance, regulatory-wise, any death that occurs within 30 days of a product, whether the product caused it or not, we don't care.
You got to look at it.
You got to look at it. You have to. The number they come up with, Alex, the range is 146 to 187,000 Americans may have died after the vaccine.
Wow.
Can you believe that? 147,000 Americans.
800,000 people who died of the respiratory illness. And our CDC tells us that 90% of them have other conditions that were also fatal. The Italians, by the way, say now, recording their data, that 97% of Italians had other fatal illnesses. Let me put this in context. Colin Powell, people know Colin Powell. He had terminal multiple myeloma. He took the vaccine and he died with COVID. But all experts agree that the terminal multiple myeloma was the overriding problem, right? So we know that 90% of COVID deaths like this, the average age of death of COVID in the United States is 83 years old. These are people who live beyond life expectancy. So what I'm telling you is we probably have 60,000 Americans, people our age, who truly died of COVID, 60,000. And what Pantazatos and Seligman are saying is that we may have had 187 taken out with the vaccine. The vaccine is far worse than the respiratory illness.
Oh, my gosh. So that is Dr. Peter McCullough, right? I mean, he is experienced and educated up the yin-yang. You got to be able to believe this guy. He has lost everything. People always say, well, what doctors can you believe? I mean, it's usually the people that have been vaccinated and they're trying to find a good reason why, you know, they don't want to believe anything I'm saying. But I'm like, well, who are you going to believe? The doctor paid to give propaganda and who will now lose their job, be silenced and lose everything if they tell the truth? Or do you want to believe the guy who is losing his job because he's telling the truth? I think that it shows that somebody's paying a very high price to try to get you some information. And I would tend to believe the guy who's yelling for blue murder, you know, who's trying to warn everybody. And so this is absolutely shocking, you know.
This is communism 2.0, Laura, is what it is. And, you know, one book that I did read in my life, I'm not a reader, but I did read the Communist Manifesto. And I read it because I wanted to really get a gist of what was going on in the world and what kind of agendas they were going to play on us in the next 5 or 6 years to get us to where we are today. And I recommend that people take time and read that because it really crosses the T's and dots the I's. It'll make you understand how these agendas are being played out on us and what effect they're having on society and where they're taking us. We have a window still in Canada that's open to stop this insanity, but that window is getting smaller and smaller all the time as their power base expands. So we have this is the year that I honestly believe, Laura, that this is a do or die year for Canadians, that we either turn this thing around or they're going to get so far into this that we will not be able to stop it.
It's really scary, Barry.
It is, Laura, and I never thought I'd be able to say that in my life. I never really ever, even when I started looking into this stuff, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, we all were doing shows and saying, hey, you know, in the future, they're gonna lock us all down. They're gonna have complete control of society. Here's a couple of the mechanisms we might use. We talked about different situations, but now it's here on steroids. It's in our face. There's no denying what they're trying to do. And we got to fight like lions this year, Laura. We really do. But
fight like lions.
Yeah, but I said before the show, we're even in this little community that I live in, we're seeing a major awakening amongst people. And it's genuine that people realize now that this is nothing to do about a virus. This is about destroying everything that we hold dear and near in our life will be taken away. And we will be in a dystopian world that none of us want to live in. But most people aren't aware of where they're taking us and what the end game is. You understand it. I understand it. We really have to get on Canadians this year and open up our hearts to them and let them know that this is something you can't walk away from. You can't ignore this. It's a cancer that's growing. Go ahead.
Well, if we could get real data and science, I think that we could really wake the masses up, even the people that are hornswoggled right now. And, you know, there's a clip of Director Walensky from the CDC, And she's being asked, how many of the 836,000 deaths that you attribute, which we just heard Dr. McCullough talking about, are really, really COVID deaths? I mean, my husband and I were just talking yesterday about how his mom passed away very suddenly about 10 years ago, maybe 10, 11 years ago. She got a flu. We thought she'd be okay. We thought she just had the flu. So we went to visit her, and then the next day my husband went back, brought her some chicken soup. That's what you do for someone who has the flu. She seemed under the weather. Next day, she's dead, right? This is a phenomenon that happens. The flu comes, and it takes thousands and thousands of people every year. But now we turn it into this COVID-19, convenient virus that they've now used. So everyone and their dog, I mean, if they come in with a gunshot wound, but they have COVID, then, well, they died of COVID. And now the CDC, Director Walensky is being put on the spot. We want the actual numbers. We don't want the CDC, how you've counted deaths. They died with COVID. We want to know who died of COVID. And if it's true that it's really coming out to, like, I thought Peter McCullough was saying something like 67,000, as compared. Do you know what a joke this is? This is a colossal joke. But my concern, Barry, is that we have so indoctrinated and propagandized the Canadian people through the media that we are literally in a mass psychosis. And this is what other doctors have been coming on my show to say, is that we're really dealing now with a problem. And this is what Dr. Robert Malone recently stated. And we had that clip on our show. He's saying that this is, this is a psychosis that has hit our land. And that's why people are so angry. Like, they can't even see the truth anymore. That's why they hate the unvaccinated. Everybody wants to be mad when you feel vulnerable. When you're scared, anger comes out when you're afraid. That's a natural phenomenon that happens. But right now, because they're so afraid of everything that they've been told by the media, now we've got a prime minister who gives you permission. I mean, you're not permitted to hate the Muslims. You're not permitted to hate the transgenders. You're not permitted to say anything negative about the LGBTQ. You are certainly permitted to say anything you want against Christians. We are the truly unprotected force in Canada. But if you also want to hate on the unvaccinated, then go right ahead, because they're taking up space and we don't know if we need to tolerate this anymore. And we need to look at bringing in a mandatory. They're not going to be able to work. They're not going to be able to bank. They're not going to be able to get their driver's license renewed. Now, he has not said those things. Let me just clarify, as I'm, citing what the prime minister has said. So I don't want to misquote anything. But what I'm saying is they're going to try to find a way. And it's happening so fast. And I think it's happening fast because the narrative is falling apart. So they exactly want to get in their, their China-like, controls of us and our social credit score management in. And one really, really scary bit of information that is coming out also is basically the tracking of the numbers. So here's what happened, Barry. I get to know some pretty intriguing people who are kind of undercover, who call me, and I got two guys from Israel, okay? They call me to let me know that it's true that you can put a Samsung phone, okay, on a Bluetooth, and you got to put the app correctly, and you can determine what number someone is on their after they've had the shot. They literally have a MAC number. I'm like, mm-hmm. Listen, guys, I know I trust you and everything, but that sounds so far-fetched, seriously. It's and not. They said, well, yep, it's already been done. In France, everyone's looking at it. And he said, you can do it on your own phone. But I have actually an iPhone. And he said the iPhones actually are not as good at tracking this, but a Samsung is. So what do, Barry? I call my techie guy, and he's got a Samsung phone. And I say, listen, can you check this out? And he goes, okay. So he watches the video that explains how to do it. He goes right over to his neighbor. He does it on his neighbor and comes up with the neighbor's number. Well, the neighbors freaked out, and they're all like, whoa, And then he goes to the mall, and he said, there's hundreds of numbers in the mall. I'm like, wow. Oh my Lord, it's true. So then I listened to, you know, this other video that's talking about what they're finding is they're finding that they're, what do they call it? Oh my word. It's little devices that are ending up, okay, in the, is this it? Okay. It's on futurenews.com. So everybody should go there and try to listen to it. It also comes through InfoWars. But it's evidence of self-assembling nano circuitry in the Pfizer vaccine. So they're literally going into the bloodstream. And even as your any kind of immunity or any kind of, you know, small, limited, minor effect that an immunity that you're having from COVID-19, which I don't know if you can prove that you're really getting that. How do we know? How do we know that they have any real you know, safety effect for people, because you don't know how anyone reacts to this stuff, and they've lied so much, and they're killing old people in seniors' homes anyways. It's ridiculous. And but after the immunity's waning, what they're seeing, and they're seeing it in the blood, is these little square like images that are organizing, right? And building a little nano circuitry in there. Oh my word. You know? So I've had about it.
I'm not trying to laugh at this, Laura, but I know. It's so insane. You've got to laugh at it. But I watched that same video.
If we could go back 3 years ago, Barry, and we could have like just a 10-minute view into us 3 years later having this conversation, we would go, what the heck, you're bonkers. I've lost my mind. That's what I'd be saying. I've lost my mind. I'm gonna be talking like that. I'm gonna be saying stuff like that, you know.
That's such a deep rabbit hole, what you just talked about, the transhumanism aspect of what they're doing in our world. You know that God gave us a perfect body, and they are hell-bent on destroying the most beautiful creation in the world, and that's our bodies. That's part of their agenda, and I believe it plays in exactly what they're trying to do, how they're trying to manipulate us, turn us into little robots. I mean, this rabbit hole is so deep, I can't understand even. I can understand a bit of it now, but it is just absolutely what it is. It's evil, Laura. That's the only way I can describe what they're trying to do to the human body. They are trying to turn us into little robots. Nanotechnology, that is something that really alarms me when you understand that they can take a radio receiver now and make it so small that you can't see it with the human eye. So what are they putting in these vaccines? What are they injecting into our bodies? We have no idea. Period.
I have no idea.
It's a crapshoot. It's absolutely experimental in the true form and explanation of an experimental. I don't even call them vaccines because they're not. I like using the word jibby jab because that really seems appropriate to what they're actually doing to us. But that whole aspect is just, it's mind boggling, Laura. It really is.
Yesterday in the National Post, you know, I See It Coming is the title of the article. Mandatory vaccinations on the horizon, federal health minister says. I mean, this guy is a nut job. Yeah. He looks like I don't know, something out of, you know, that Raiders of the Lost Ark
movie.
You know, that nasty guy, that German or whatever. And you know, he looks like and I don't mean Germans are like that. He was a German guy, and he had the face. He had the nasty face. So I have German blood in me. So this guy, I mean, he looks like somebody that would be on Hitler's team. I mean, he just has that look about him, and maybe that's not very nice to say that. But then the way he talks, it just confirms everything, because he hates on the unvaccinated. He has the prime minister's approval to hate on the unvaccinated. And now they're putting out all of these talking points. This is going on to national media constantly, where everybody's believing that there's a problem with the unvaccinated, when in fact the problem is with the vaccinated, and they are the ones that Omicron is affecting. They've already proven that. They have studies to show that Omicron is, you know, affecting them more. But good news, Omicron is not killing people. So why aren't we doing what Florida's doing? Why are we not outside running around, enjoying ourselves? Well, of course, it's cold and snowing. That's one reason here in Canada. But we should be able to be in all the restaurants. We shouldn't be discriminating between, you know, a group of people that have decided to maintain bodily autonomy. And for those people who think this is okay, what is your line in the sand? Are you good with one booster? Are you good with two? are you good with 8 boosters? Because that's what's coming. I mean, they have bought enough boosters for all of Canada to be boosted up the yin-yang. And with each, you know, hit that you get, you're getting more and more of this stuff that we know is not good for you. And I do know there's placebos. I do believe there's placebos. There's good batches, bad batches, batches that seem to have no problems with them. The studies that are coming out, people, amazing people that are just spying on, you know, the VAERS so that they can begin plotting as to where some of the batches are coming from. And I realize it's controversial and you can come up, you know, with some, you know, you can come up with some assumptions, yes, that might not exactly be totally correct because you don't have all the information. But it does appear. Like, let's take Dr. Hoff from Lytton. He has an extraordinary number of people getting extremely bad reactions, including a death up in his little town of Lytton before it burned down. And he outs it, right? He tries to get some clear direction from Bonnie Henry. She completely ignores him. He's finally so alarmed by these adverse reactions that are many of them life-altering and they haven't gone away that he puts out an open letter. So why does this little town seem to have that? We have somebody else who's just died in Saskatchewan, a wife, took the shot, was dead the next day. We've had the child die in Saskatchewan where the mother – now, these are only things that make it to mainstream. Most people are so grief-stricken and so bought out by the mainstream media, they don't want to cause vaccine hesitancy even though their loved one just died. So they're not even willing to come forward about it. So we don't even know the half of this. We don't even know 99% of what's really going on with all of this. And, Barry, I'm sad. Our churches have fallen. Our educational establishments have fallen. Our government, our politicians, other than Maxime Bernier yelling from the rooftops that, you know, I even called him a psychopath or something like that, I think. It was very interesting. I love the way he put it. It was in a LifeSite News article. They actually quoted LifeSite News quotes Maxime Bernier calling out the prime minister. Why the heck isn't Erin O'Toole? Where are the leaders? Screaming. Where's the opposition? What has happened? Our whole country's falling, and it's falling around our ears. And, you know, it just seems like there's not enough movement. I am very encouraged by what you're saying. I'm encouraged by, yes, the number of people that it appears are beginning to see the light. But Canada, you know, what a mess we're in. I had Dr. Julie Panessi on, I believe it was Thursday, and she said, stop what you're doing right now. Focus on what is happening to our land, the loss of our freedoms, the mandates coming down. No one's screaming in the streets, Barry. You know, I do see a few people trying, right? And Lord knows, I've made my way. I mean, you have traveled for hours and hours to be at an event down here in Vancouver. You have put your money where your mouth is. You have invested everything you have, Barry, including taking your personal time. And I do hope that anyone who's listening to this, would you just throw Barry $25? Would you throw him $100 to keep doing what he's doing? Because let me tell you that people like Barry, people that are doing independent research and bringing you the truth, it's a far cry from what CBC gets. Well, they get their billions of dollars to keep propagandizing our nation. So help Barry to tell this. Help Barry to put it out there. Make it a point. Send him an e-transfer. Send him some kind of donation. And he never asked me to do that, of course. But I understand. You have been fighting this, and I appreciate it. But where is everyone else? And I keep saying this. And I was sounding the alarm over a year and a half ago. I was yelling about the Conservative Party's not even standing for normal stuff that Conservative Party stand for. Even, you know, with the whole gender. Bill C-4, we got a really big problem. Bill C-4 is going to literally make it potentially, I mean, some legal minds are really crafting out, potentially putting, you know, anyone who believes that God made man and woman and that females and males is sort of God's idea, that maybe that's just going to be seen as a myth. Basically, that's just that myth Bible talking, right? Let's teach all the kids they can choose their genders. Let's confuse an entire generation. while all of these men and women sit there like deer in the headlights, not even able to speak. Like, what has happened to the voice of Canadians? I know you have a voice, Barry, and you're really, you know, out there. But mothers, why are you sitting idly by while your child is indoctrinated in school that they can change their gender, causing a mass number of kids to suddenly be gender dysphoric? Oh, what's it? Is it the food? No, it might be that your teacher has been telling your children that they can choose their gender. Well, is that your idea? Do you believe that? Or do you hold to something different? Do you hold to science that shows that our DNA tells us if we're male or female, and that we're not going to confuse our children with these things that then, you know, lead to all kinds of things? I mean, the world's gone mad and Canadians largely have been silent. I mean, it's a great wake-up call. On the other side, I know it's very bad news, and I had nothing but bad news today. I mean, honestly, I said to my husband, because I have to speak at an event tonight, I'm like, Lord, help me. I need to go for a drive or something after I'm off Barry's show. Good thing I'm talking to Barry, because I can unleash all the worst possible news. But on the other hand, Barry, I like what you're saying about even your town waking up. Everybody, wake up. What do we need to do? I think that we need to go to court a lot more, even if we lose. All of this nonsense about, oh, well, you'll lose in the court. So just, no, just get it out there. You know, like, do something. Every time you get a ticket, fight that ticket. I have Saskatchewan. They've got 3 tickets on me. And I got a judge. He calls me personally from the court to keep rescheduling. And he says, well, I see you're acting for yourself. I'm like, yeah, why would I miss the opportunity to, I would like to call my own witnesses. I'd like to call Dr. Peter McCullough. I would like to call, you know, Dr. Robert Malone. I would like to call the Honorable Brian Peckford, the last remaining architect of our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, who is saying to us, he's the last guy left alive. He was there when they crafted the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. He knows what they meant. That notwithstanding clause did not mean, notwithstanding, we get a flu bug and then we demand that everybody get medical treatments and lose complete bodily autonomy, and by the way, lose your right to go to a restaurant, and by the way, lose your right to ever travel again. That is not what they meant. They are in violation of everything that is Canadian, and I would like to use that opportunity to go to court, call these people in, and just see what happens, and let the chips fall where they may. If nothing else, the education process begins to get out there, and I'm horrified. I'm horrified, Barry. It's going to, you know, we're really... I do.
We're
pray.
Up against the wall. Yeah, well, we are, Laura. Pray. We are. We got Brian Peckford actually going to come in and talk to Terrace here next Saturday.
Fantastic.
So I'm looking forward to that. He's I've listened to him talk with a few other people in interviews, and he will knock it out of the park. But that's what we need to do right now. We got to take the gloves off. We have a war going on in our country right now, and our country is at risk, folks. It is. We could lose everything that we hold dear in our lives. Whatever you want to talk about, what you think you've earned in your life, what you've built in your life, what you've established for your future can be all taken away in the blink of an eye if we don't stop this madness. And Laura, you are my hero. You are. I have so much respect for what you're doing every day, the amount of knowledge that you're bringing forward with the guests that you have on your show. I can't say enough. So what, you know what, folks, I'm going to turn that around. I'm going to say, don't send me money. Send Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson some money, because she is out there and she's doing, I do what I can, Laura, but you're out there and I know I'd rather the people send her the money. Okay. I can live without it, but help Laura because she is a warrior.
Yeah. Okay? I appreciate it, Barry. But, you know, I've been saying something very interesting, and I do want to put it to your audience. Barry, there's a time to fight and there's a time to understand that we're in an abusive relationship, and that time is getting very, very short. Now, I do want people to fight, but I will tell you from a biblical perspective, that even Jesus himself, he said, if they do not receive you in your home, take back your peace and leave. If they persecute you in one place, go flee. It actually says in Matthew 10:23, when you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I do not know, Barry, nor do I have much true understanding of where we are in the last days, because I listen to people. I open every show of mine with, hello, I'm Laura Lynn Tyler Thompson, and welcome to the last days. I'm here fighting real hard, and I'll tell you why I'm in Canada right now, because my kids are here, and they're Canadian. I have an American passport, and so does my husband. I can leave anytime I want. I will go down to that border, and I'll say, let me the heck out of this country, because they're about to put me in a quarantine camp because I refuse to get a vaccine. I can't work anymore because I don't have a vaccine. This and that. Where are we headed? But I feel an obligation, because it's not very popular, Barry, because people, they're in a couple camps. There's some people, they've already left, and actually people are fleeing every day, and you need to know that. They are literally leaving Canada. When you're in an abusive relationship, you have to figure out if it's really possible to save it. Because when you have a psychopath running the country who now has been voted in, he seems to be getting away with everything. You do not have an opposition. You have people that are making you feel unsafe, and you actually have so much anxiety from living in this country that you're no longer at peace. If you have the means whereby to do it, you can go. My concern is for those who do not. Many people do not have the means to leave this country. I'm also here fighting for them. I'm also here saying, all right, I'm not in danger today. I don't think, Barry. I don't know. I always am wondering if I ever have a knock at my door. I'm like, oh, they're here. Like, I've said too much. I'm in trouble. Because I'm yapping off, just like you, nonstop about the pharmacy, you know, aspect of this whole thing, the billionaires that are being made through doing this. I'm constantly talking about the depopulation that is so popular with Bill Gates and Fauci. And Fauci, I mean, I've got Robert F. Kennedy's book on Fauci. That man is a psychopath. He's a sociopath. He's the world's greatest killer. He killed the gay people with AZT, right? It wasn't AIDS that killed people. It was the drug AZT that was killing the AIDS people. It's just all coming out. It's been hidden. It's been hidden and hidden and hidden. And now the people that really know, Robert F. Kennedy's put it all in his book, and he's like, hey, I got lots of money. Sue me. If any of this is wrong, sue me, Fauci. No lawsuits so far, you know, because he's going to lose, because everything that Robert F. Kennedy has written about him, remdesivir, Fauci knew remdesivir was killing people in the Ebola outbreak. Remdesivir causes 40% of people's, you know, kidneys to fail. Right. So what does he do? We have a huge pandemic going on. He goes right in a room with Donald Trump, sits there, and tells the world that remdesivir looks like this could be the answer, right? Remdesivir then, I had Dr. Artis on my show, remdesivir then kills thousands of people in the United States of America, which are probably considered to be those numbers that are dead by COVID. What a load of bunk. Yeah. They're being killed by these medical, you know, tyrannical sadomasochists. And all we've got to get the message out. So all I can say to everyone who's listening to me right now is, if you're a Bible-believing person, maybe examine your Bible. If you're an atheist right now, maybe look in your bank account and see if you have enough money to live well somewhere else in the country, in the world, sorry, until this is over. If you want to stay and fight, I get it. We all have reasons. We can't leave our kids. But I'm finding very few things that I find appealing about Canada right now when my prime minister calls me a misogynist and a racist. I thought I only needed to be called that by some people who didn't like the way that I feel about gender. Okay? I'm used to getting hate from that crowd. But now we got a government. And let me tell you something, LGBTQ are actually resisting, I know some of them resisting this vaccine. So this is now against all of us, everybody. Anyone who takes a moment to even think and do a half hour's good research into what's going on, the deaths behind the vaccine, might decide, you know what, I'm really not thinking I'm taking that sucker. Yeah. Well, suddenly you are maybe not to be tolerated. You're taking up space in this beautiful country, apparently, and you're not welcome. You are not wanted, and they are now going to make it very, very hard for you to live well. This either turns around, you guys, or please, please make plans. And if that means that you want to stay in Canada and you want to go to somewhere, I mean, Terrace is beautiful, I've heard. I'm not actually certain if I was there years and years ago because I did sort of a travel through BC. But, like, are people moving out of the city up there? Are you getting your 1 year worth of, food? Try to at least have 6 months on hand of food, you know? And now we've got the Prime Minister demanding. I'm sorry for talking so long, Barry. I'm really sorry. We've got the Prime Minister today. He's basically going to demand that all of the truckers from the United States that are bringing food items up into Canada, they have to be vaccinated. Well, guess what they're going to say? They're going to give him
pound sand,
and they're not coming, right? So this is going to be skin impacting. Oh, the people that Trudeau values, the vaccinated. Yeah, well, good luck getting your food, people. You know, the guy's crazy. We are being run by a sociopath, a dictator. You know, we don't even know who his dad is, really.
Well, I do.
And now, I mean, he might be a chip off the old block, if you know what I mean. So this is a problem. This is a problem. I'm like, everyone, really consider. And I had a very spiritual moment when about a month and a half, 2 months ago, I guess, I was very disturbed by what's going on. I'm disturbed that my children are here. I'm disturbed that my loved ones, my friends, my those that I know are standing against the vaccine, that we are beginning to be targeted in such a way that they are dehumanizing us, attacking us nonsensically. And I got very worried about the correlation between what's happening here in Canada and what happened to the Nazis and some of the, you know, the Jews left. Right? They left because they saw it coming. So when people say, well, it's not courageous to leave, I go, okay, so the Jews that left, were they not courageous or were they wise? Because Proverbs says that when you see trouble coming, that you make your plans. You do what you need to do. And I opened my Bible, my precious Bible. It's very worn. It's much like my father's Bible that I read from. At the start of the show every day, I read one verse that my dad underlined. He scarce has a page without underlining something in the Bible. And I miss him, and he died. He survived COVID-19, but he got home and he had a stroke. And so when I read those verses, they're very powerful to me. But I took out my Bible, and 2 months ago when I was just really upset about what was going on, I open up my Bible, and it goes exactly to Ezekiel 12. Okay. Now I know everyone listening to you is not a Christian. So I will just tell the people that are in your audience, Ezekiel 12. My Bible literally opens only to that page. I had never read that. I had never seen this portion of scripture. I did not know it existed. I like to say I've read the Bible, but some things just don't stick in your mind. I've read it cover to cover, but it just didn't stick in my mind at all. I mean, it meant nothing to me whenever I read this. It meant nothing. And
would you like to read it?
I do have it right in front of me. It's only six verses. It's just terrifying. Okay, it says, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man. You are living among a rebellious people. They have eyes to see but do not see, and ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. Therefore, son of man, pack your belongings for exile, and in the daytime, as they watch, set out and go from where you are to another place. Perhaps they will understand, though they are a rebellious people. During the daytime, while they watch, bring out your belongings packed for exile. Then in the evening, while they are watching, go out like those who go into exile. While they watch, dig through the wall. Take your belongings out through it. Put them on your shoulder as they are watching and carry them out at dusk. Cover your face so that you cannot see the land, for I have made you a sign to the Israelites. I was literally asking God, do I stay? Do I go? What do you want me to do, God? I see, because in my spirit, I have never considered myself a prophet. I tend to kind of have a gut feeling about something, and I go on that. My whole life I've gone on that. I got into television on a word from God. It was a very strange thing. It was a gut feeling. I have continued to pursue what I know to do through strong perspectives and perceptions that this is what I should do. When I was asking God, what do I do? Should I stay or should I go? I open my Bible. Out comes this. Pack up your bags and leave. And in another area in Jeremiah 21 in the Bible, it says that God is going to destroy a city because of its rebellious, sinful state. And he gives a warning to those who are righteous to get out. So I've said to my husband in recent days, are we in the wrong place by being here? But I don't actually believe. Now, my gut feeling is God was telling me this as to bring a warning, because I've got a little bit of room here. I can drive to the border and leave. I'm an American. So is my husband. But I'm here for my friends, my loved ones, for people like Barry. I'm here for my family, and I'm speaking as loudly as I can. We have got to get in touch with what our spiritual authority is saying. We've got to get in touch, and we have to hear from him.
Amen. Laura, we're out of time, and I hate that.
Thank you, Barry.
I could talk for another hour with you, but I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming in today.
So welcome.
You're absolutely inspiring, and I hope that you'll grant me some time in the near future so we can continue this conversation.
We'll do it again,
bless,
Barry.
God bless you. God bless you for what you're doing, Laura. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye for now. What a great lady.
Are you going on break?
I am going to go take a tea break right now.
Well, tell the people you're still on air.
Okay, listen, I'm taking a break for a couple of minutes, guys. I thought we were gone. Okay,
no.
Back in a couple of minutes with Mr. Doug Force.
One against another. No more father, no more mother. Choices are obliterated. Factories are eliminated. Children going hungry. Bankers making money. Stop it! We got to keep connecting the youngest with the old, cause the oldest fought for freedoms that are never to be sold. Deceivers throw out wisdom that comes from who knows where. Up is down and down is up, as long as they got good hair. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. Crazy town. We only have two genders and climate always changes, but social engineers establish wider ranges. Pronouns are offensive while truth is on defensive. Drag queens are progressive, conservatives oppressive. Since when exerting social pressure but forcing certain measures? Look and see, mask or no, as we watch divisions grow. Black and white are made to fight. Who determines what is right? The truth is so elusive. Do people even care? It doesn't seem to matter as long as they got good hair. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down crazy town. Crazy town. From Germany to Calgary and all around the globe, as the times they are a-changing, we have to be more bold. The picture is unfolding as most just look away, while others see what's coming. Some gather as they pray, singing hallelujah. For we must be relentless, and comfort we will find when we hear the answers to ease our troubled minds. We must not be so blinded by those with crooked smiles, but look beyond the image, the fashion, and the style. Look towards what lies within, that matters if you dare. Most people are oblivious as long as they got good hair. As long as they look, it doesn't matter what you say. Fluoride stares and no one cares as they all gaze away. Illusions are created, it happens all the time, by liars and deceivers sipping expensive wine. Wolves are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. adversity and battle to infinity. And wars are always hard to fight. To establish what is right, seek out the injustice that stares you in the face. Or you can say sayonara to the human race. Goodbye, Yellow Brick Road. The numbers, they were phony, and all the tests were fake. And lots of people really died with miserable heartache. We have to stop relying on those who are selected. Let the lion roar within you. Let those liars be rejected. Wars are dressing up like sheep in upside down crazy town. Nothing's making sense at all in upside down crazy town. Good is bad and bad is good in upside down crazy town. Nothing's working as it should in upside down.
Well, welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again for Laura Lynn coming in today. Really enjoyed that conversation, and hope to get her back here real soon. I haven't had Doug Force in for a little while now, and phoned him up the other day. I said, it's time to kick the ball around, Doug, a little bit. So thanks, Doug, for coming in, and always like to start my show with my guests as their pet peeve of the week. So why don't you get right into that, and welcome back.
Well, thank you very much for having me again, Barry. It's always a pleasure to be here. I love your audience. They're the awake people, not the awoke people, which is wonderful to have people like that in your audience. My pet peeve of the week is actually my pet peeve for the last 2 years. Here's the thing, I say this now pretty much all the time. Welcome to World War III. Because that's what we're in. We're in World War III. The people just haven't woken up to the simple fact that that's what's happened here. If we go back to 2019, in September of 2019, and we look at what was going on in the financial world at that time, overnight lending evaporated. That was the first sign of the end play in the financial system. Then they fought with that until about December the 12th, 2019, the financial system crossed the event horizon of the black hole. And it's been going straight into that black hole since. They know that. There was a little event that happened in October of 2019, and that was called Event 201. But in December, when the financial system crossed the event horizon, Event 201 went live in March of 2020. Now, they accelerated their timeline from 2025. They thought they could get to 2025 before they wound up with this pandemic and the fake virus and doing the bioweapons. But because the event horizon was crossed on December the 12th, 2019, World War III started. And it's been ongoing ever since. And if you don't believe it, just kind of look outside and see what's going on. Masks, we know, don't work, but why are people wearing masks? These so-called vaccines, well, what are they? They're bioweapons. We know that to be a fact now. How do we know that to be a fact? Because anybody who's ever watched anything by Dr. David Martin will see that he holds all the patents for all these mRNAs, and they are all designed for one thing, to kill you over time. But the bigger question here is why? Why? Right, Barry? Are you going to ask me, why would they do this, Doug? Why do they want to kill everybody? Why do they want to depopulate the planet?
It's their agenda. We know.
No. Well, it is their agenda, but why? Well, and let's take Australia as a quick example. So the Commonwealth of Australia, the Constitution for the Commonwealth of Australia, is actually applicable to three islands off the coast of Australia. The people that live in what you know today as Australia is actually, its legal name is Terra Australis. That's its legal name. And it was conquered by the Dutch back in the 1600s or 1700s. So by conquest, the Dutch owned the land. Well, the English made a deal with the Dutch to use that as a penal colony. And they paid the Dutch yearly for that. And over time, the penal colony went away and the people moved onto the land. Now, the Dutch abandoned the land, and then the people now were the conquerors of that land, including the indigenous people. It went back to we the people. But how do you then enslave those people who own the land? Well, you create, in 1901, they created the Commonwealth of Australia Constitution. And then those people join that Commonwealth by becoming citizens. The problem is now they still own the land. So how do you get the land away from the people that are on it, that own it? Via conquest. You kill them. See the same thing happening here in Canada. We were given the land in Canada by the Dominion, by the British government in 1931. Land belongs to us. Who were the first people to be inoculated here in Canada?
First Nations.
Correct. Why?
Because they got to get rid of them first.
Correct. Why?
Because you eliminate claims on the land.
Yeah, there you go. It's all about the land.
Hey, there you go. I got three right, Doug. Hey, listen, my dog's got to go outside, so I'm standing away for 5 seconds here, okay?
Yeah. Go put him out and have a
drink. Say something, Doug.
No, I'm just saying. So if we look at what's going on right now, and in the United for people in the United States, it's the same thing going on down there for people like your producer here, Steve. In the U.S., all land in the United States is owned by we the people. How do we know that? First three words of the Constitution. They want the land. Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 lays it all out for you. Depopulate the planet down to manageable size, move the people off the land into smart cities and enslave them. And now you've got all the land. And it's over. This is World War III, ladies and gentlemen. Wake up. They are coming to kill you. They're coming to kill your children. This is not a negotiation. They will not negotiate. They want you dead or enslaved. So stop complying. Otherwise, you're going to wind up dead or enslaved. So that was my pet peeve.
Well, you know, I understand exactly what you're saying, Doug, and I agree with you 100%. But to get that train of thought across a sheeple of a society that has not gone down rabbit holes in his life, doesn't understand what's going on behind the scenes or what players are playing and what agendas are being played out and who the big players are and where it all comes back to, it's hard to get them to even think about something like that. So how do you get that across to a person that really hasn't looked into what you and I have looked into over the last 7 or 8 or 10 years of our life?
Well, and I keep repeating myself with this narrative. And yes, it falls on deaf ears in some instances, but other people are waking up to the tyranny. And if I can get one or two each time I talk about this to wake up to the tyranny, then ignorance is no longer a choice. See, today in society, ignorance is a choice, and people virtue signal their ignorance by, you know, bragging about how many shots of the bioweapon they've taken, how many masks they wear, and then they start berating people who haven't taken the bioweapon, et cetera, et cetera. And that's pure ignorance. And there's nothing you can do to help those people. They're dead. They're dead people walking. It's by design. I thought it was kind of funny. I was reading a story the other day. This woman in the States, she had really bad adverse effects on the first two times she was double jabbed, right? And she had bad adverse effects. And then, you know, she said, you know, I've got to get a booster. I know it's okay. I'll be safe. I had, bad adverse effects, but I don't care. I'm going to take the booster. And anybody who doesn't is an idiot and shouldn't be allowed out in public. So she took the booster and she was dead literally the next day. Wow. Now, karma's a bitch, eh?
Yeah, you know, what bugs me the most, and I said the first hour there, is what they're doing to our kids, and the amount of children. I'm getting information now from a very good friend of mine in the States who's on my show here on a regular basis, but I go to him for information because he's usually pretty good, and he says the numbers that are coming to him right now, that a lot of them he can't prove, but the numbers are coming are astronomical, the amount of children that are dying.
Oh, yeah.
So what would you do if you were a parent, Doug, and along come the government, and they tell you that, you know, this is really good for your child, this is the way you're going to protect your child, and you being a sheeple in society, not really understanding, trusting the government, you go ahead and get your child vaccinated, and a couple of weeks later your child dies. What would you want to do? What would your reaction be? Because I know what mine would be, and I'm afraid we're going to start seeing some of those reactions played out on our elected officials that are pushing this agenda. What do you think?
Well, and the sad part of all of this is that the only person to blame for that child's death is the one looking back at the parent in the mirror. They chose ignorance. And there was a gentleman that there was a person that reached out about a gentleman who took his who had been double jabbed and had a booster, and he took his 6-year-old in to get the jab, right? Finally, it was, oh, great, I can get my 6-year-old in. And 3 days later, the 6-year-old is dead. And he was so, it's heartbreaking, of course. God Almighty, my heart goes out to the poor bastard. But at the same time, he had a choice. And he chose not to understand what was going on. And yes, he's angry. And yes, he was angry at the people that, you know, but he took on the position that he's the victim. And the reality is that you're not the victim, sir. You're the perpetrator of that crime. And you perpetrated that crime by not doing your homework, by not understanding. Like I said, ignorance is a choice. There is so much information and good information out there today. And it's on the government websites. It's on VAERS. It's on the CDC. It's on the FDA websites. It's on Health Canada websites. It's there. Go read it. They're not hiding this stuff from you. You just have to do a little bit of research. You listen to there's whole tons of doctors out there now. Dr. Malone, the guy who actually invented the mRNA system, is telling people, and people are going, oh, no, that's a conspiracy theory. He invented it, folks. Listen to what he has to say. He's telling you, don't touch it. There are all kinds of virologists and immunologists out there, and people are believing, oh, they're just conspiracy theorists. Wait a minute. They went to school for 10 years to get their to get to understand what this stuff is, and yet you're discounting them because Bill Gates, who never even graduated university, and he's not a very good coder, and he's not a doctor, and he, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But they'll believe him or Tony Fauci for the same reason. Fauci is in it for the money. He's worth billions because of this. And of course it's not safe, but there you go. They would rather take the opinion of you know, these talking heads on the news or the celebrities that come out and say, well, I was 3 jabs, blah, blah, blah. It's good for you, yada, yada, yada. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Ignorance. I keep coming back to this. Ignorance is a choice.
I agree, Doug. And you know, the statement I made there I agree. There is no excuse for not understanding what the potentials these are for your children, but there's still parents out there that are just so brainwashed that they're not doing it on purpose. They honestly think they're doing the child a good service, but they just haven't taken the time, and they won't take the time to look at the other side of the story. I agree. You know, they're going to have to look in the mirror for the rest of their lives and ask themselves what they did to their child. What a burden that would be, you know. There is no excuse for it, though. I agree, Doug, because the information's out there. It's out there in many, many, many different places. You can go find it. And the fact that some of the top doctors, like you said, in the world are being absolutely silenced right now, threatened, it's just communism 2.0 in our face.
Well, and tyrants want the children because this way they can undermine the family unit and undermine the parents.
Exactly.
And so this is why they're going for the children right now.
Yep.
And it saddens me, but it doesn't surprise me, okay, because this is a plan. This is a plan of takeover. This is, like I said, I come back to the beginning. It's World War III. We are in World War III. They're not shooting bullets at us. They're actually injecting us with bioweapons to depopulate the planet. That's what this is about. And if people can't wake up to that shortly, they're going to wind up dead or enslaved.
Unfortunately, Doug, at this point, they're going to take you and me with them, and we're just not going to let that happen. We're going to turn this around, because I honestly believe that the humanity of the human being will come forward. That what we start hearing, and I don't want to say this, but I honestly believe it, that when we start hearing about children dying, as much as the mainstream media tries to keep this away from the public, that information is going to come forward in the near future. How are people going to handle it? Well, they're going to be in a sense of rage. But like you said, they should look in the mirror, because there is no excuse for it. There really isn't. You look at any numbers, and I tell people, you got to look at the data, because they can't hide the data. As much as they want to lie to us and deceive us, if you go look at the data will blow them out of the box every single time. So just go look at the numbers, folks, and then ask yourself if there's anything in any form of common sense that this government's doing. Unbelievably, no.
Well, absolutely. And let's take a trip down a unicorn path here, okay? Oh. And let's pretend that there is this virus actually exists. We know factually that it doesn't, but let's pretend that it does. So it has a 99.97% survival rate for everybody under the age of 82, okay? Which means that why would you take, and let's pretend again that these are actually vaccines, why would you need to take a vaccine for a virus that you have the very remote possibility at best of dying from, and you'd have to have a whole bunch of comorbidities to die from it. So if you're healthy with a healthy immune system, why would you need to be vaccinated against something that basically is less dangerous than the common cold? That unto itself, you know, that's in this magic world of the magic virus and these magic vaccines. Not in the real world, where there is no virus and these magic vaccines are actually bioweapons designed to kill you. Okay, that's going into the projected reality that they're pushing out on people. Okay, because they admit it has a 99.97% survival rate. Why would you need to take a vaccine? You wouldn't. The flu has a 96% survival rate. Now they put out vaccines for that, you know. But this, what's the ulterior motive? Welcome to World War III.
Exactly. Well, what happened to the flu last year, Doug? It took a holiday, eh?
Well, actually, no. The FDA and the CDC both came out last September and said, oh, by the way, the RT-PCR test we've been using for the last 18 months has only been testing for influenza A and influenza B. So all those cases were flu. So that's where the flu went. Oh, they just called it.
They renamed it.
They renamed it COVID.
Yeah, and gave it to the media. And away you go, man.
And it's hilariously funny, because now they said, well, you know, because back in September, they said, well, we'll have it isolated in humans by December, okay, December 31st. So in January, we're going to let it go. And they went on to say, you know, we have this 45-gallon drum over here in the corner. I'm actually making this up. They didn't actually say that. But they said that we have this soup, and we believe that the virus is in the soup, and we're going to reach in, and we're going to pull a piece of its RNA, and then we can test for that. And they still haven't isolated. So, I mean, you think, okay, if they never isolated the virus, how are they, and they only tested for influenza A and influenza B, how are they getting tests for the Delta and the moronic now? If they've never isolated SARS, how would they know what to look for the Delta and the moronic? Or this new one? This new one.
That's a good question.
Flurona.
That's the new one. That's the new one. Heard about it yesterday.
Flurona. I mean, next thing you know, it just gets sillier and sillier. And yet, a great population is believing this stuff. They're drinking it like, what's his name?
Kool-Aid.
Jones.
Jimmy Jonestown.
They're drinking it like Jimmy Jones is handing out the Kool-Aid, I tell you.
It's cyanide, folks, but it won't kill you. Don't worry about it, okay? Trust me. I got a shirt that says that. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. It's got Jimmy Jones on there.
Absolutely.
The Kool-Aid picture is a picture of COVID-19. You know and I know, Doug, that this is the biggest scam ever played on the human race. Ever. It is absolute medical tyranny unfolding in our society. When they start telling you what you can stick in your body and you lose body autonomy, folks, you have lost it all.
Yep.
You've lost it all, period. There ain't no coming back. And we're on that precipice right now, Doug.
Oh, absolutely. And the problem is, okay, that the more people comply, the more tyranny will come. When people start saying no, tyranny starts to crumble because they only can work off of your compliance. Tyrants can only work off of your compliance. The minute you stop complying, it's like they're a paper tagger. You know, all that roar, but nothing.
Yeah.
And what I find, I read this, there was this article that was sent to me this morning. Let me just read you the headline. It says, have Canadians run out of time? I don't know whether you've saw this yet. And it goes on to say, Trudeau may enact Emergency Measures Act to secure communist takeover. Next week, all provincial and territorial premiers will be meeting with Justine and the health minister for perhaps the most important event in Canadian history. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Disturbing to say the least, Doug. I was made privy to that earlier today, but I didn't actually read the article. But boy, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out what they're going to be talking about. I mean, they're all in on the game. They've all got their ticket to the big party. They all know what role they're playing. Go ahead.
And here's the fun part. And I love this. I, as you know, I used to work in private banking. And we'll just leave it at that. Which is behind the curtain. So there's the difference between what you see in front of the curtain and what goes on behind the curtain is the people in front of the curtain are the useful idiots. The people behind the curtain are the owners. And they own everything. Okay, well, and they want to own everything. I'm sorry, they don't own everything yet because we still own Canada and the U.S. people own the United States. They want it. But here's the bigger thing. So you get all these pollies. We'll call them what they are. They're pollies. And they're thinking that they're going to have a seat at the table with the owners. They truly believe that they're going to be able to keep their fiat currency wealth and that they're going to be elite within the New World Order. But what they don't realize, because they're not very good studies of history, is that they're useful idiots today, soon to become useless eaters tomorrow. And you know what happened during the Russian Revolution to all the academics that supported the overthrow of the government and the Tsar and all that stuff and all the politicians that supported the Russian Revolution? What was the first thing that happened to them once the revolutionaries won?
Off with the head.
out the back door and a bullet in the back of the head and into the ditch you go.
Yep.
And so you look I look at people like Dougie Ford, right? He had a sticker company. He has a sticker company. And so he's made – the sticker company was pretty much blah, nothing, a couple million dollars a year. Today, and then after the first 2020, they said, well, it's got a value of about $20 million because he was doing all the stickers for the floors and the doors, et cetera, and social distancing here in Canada. Well, he went international. Today, I was told by some people that he's worth about $110 million. And he thinks, he actually believes that he's going to have a seat at the table and be able to maintain that wealth when Klaus Schwab has been very, very clear that you will own nothing and you will be happy. Because the fiat currency system that he holds his wealth in is gone. All his wealth will be gone. And because he was a useful idiot, now a useless eater, he will probably be exterminated.
Yeah, when I was talking about the premiers, I hope I said they think they've got a ticket to the big party, because I absolutely agree with you that they are just a couple rungs up the ladder from you and me, Doug. And when their usefulness is over, they will be eliminated just like everybody else. They would mean nothing to the power elite, to a small group of individuals that are sitting at the top of the pyramid, that are pulling the strings on everything going on in our world, people we never see or never hear about. Those are the ones that are looking after themselves, and they have a plan for all the peons below them. And unless you're a very, very good servant and are useful to them, you will be a statistic. Go ahead.
If you're not behind the curtain today, if you're in front of the curtain and you think you're going to get behind the curtain, you're absolutely incorrect. You will never get behind the curtain. You have to have been behind the curtain and invited to be behind the curtain and have a seat at that table years, 20, 30, 40 years ago. Do you know who does have that ticket? Only one here in Canada, just one. That's Chrystia Freeland.
She's a work of art.
Her family has been working with the owners since the Second World War. They're not at the main table, but they're at one of the secondary tables. And so she's protected. All the rest of them are not. But she's the only one in Canada. All of this wealth, I get a good chuckle, you know, because, oh, well, Thompson family is worth billions of dollars. And Galen, what's his name, from the Weston family, they're worth billions of dollars. The number one supporter of the Libtard Party here in Canada. And I'm thinking, you people are playing the game, thinking that you're going to keep your wealth and have a seat at that table, and you won't. Your wealth will be gone. And if you're lucky enough to survive, you'll have nothing and you will be happy. And trust me when I say this, they mean that. This is not, some little phrase they put out. They actually mean what they say. And I, you know, Galen Weston and the Thompson family and all of these wealth, what's the Power Corp out in Montreal, all of these families do not have a seat at the table. They're not the owners.
They think they do.
The perception is that that's the dangle, okay? That's the carrot. You play, we'll give you a seat at the table. The reality is that the decision was made 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that there was no way they're going to ever have a seat at the table, ever.
Oops, we lied. What are you going to do?
Well, the realization will be that when they come to the table, they'll be walked through the room out a side door, because that's where that – your table's going to be just through this side door. When they open the door, there's an open ditch with all the bodies in it, and the last thing that they realize will be a .45 caliber going through their brain.
Yeah, cheap, eh? Not done a lot when you buy them by the thousand.
Exactly.
Doug, you think we're going to get out of this now without violence? Really honestly, give me your honest answer on that. I want to know what you think.
I hope for the best. And I really do. Violence only begets violence, and it never gets you anywhere because both sides lose in violence. I would hope that we don't go to violence. I would hope that we could do this peacefully with the people saying enough is enough and no. Because if everybody says no, or two-thirds of the population say no, or even half the population says no, it's over. And not a bullet was fired. But it depends on how far they want to push this. And if they're going to come house to house and door to door to push this bioweapon into your body, yeah, it'll be violent. Very, very violent. And
I agree.
What's happening in the hospitals today, and this I find, you know, there's the news out of Toronto is Rocco Galati is in intensive care today, and from what we were told, he has in a induced coma.
Okay. Wow. Wow.
So you look at what's happening in the hospitals. Doctors are killing people. And they're killing loved ones. And they're banning people from getting into the hospital. They're killing your loved ones. Here's the problem that they're going to have. People will know who those doctors were who took care of their loved ones and killed them. And those people think that they are immune to anything. And they're right, except for vigilantism. And it wouldn't surprise me to start seeing this year that there's going to be a lot of, what's the right word for it, quote unquote, suicides by these doctors and nurses. They're going to be killing themselves. They'll be found in their garage hung, you know, that kind of thing. Mm. It wouldn't surprise me because the people that the families that they've destroyed by killing their loved ones, but you know, they're not going to put up with this. And these doctors and these nurses, they don't have private security protection. The police aren't going to protect them to any degree. They're not going to be around them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But it's easy to find where they live. You know, you can go look that up, and holy moly, and then, you know, and it saddens me, but that's a violence that I see coming.
Mm. I get back to what I said earlier in the show here. Doug, you actually have an individual in society that maybe he's just too busy. Maybe he is just indoctrinated to the point where he actually believes what the government is telling him and allows this injection to be put into the child's body and the child dies. And all of a sudden the guy has the wake up moment in his life. He goes and does a couple hours of research, starts to understand just how badly he's been lied to. And those are the individuals you're going to see go after these medical officials. Like you said, there's no excuse for that. But unfortunately, there's a lot of people in our society, I honestly believe they still think that they're doing a good thing for the child. No, you know, no parent would want to do their child harm. And like you said, Doug, there is no excuse for it. I agree. There's when you are the caregiver of that child, and it's up to you to look at what's going into his body and what's actually happening around him. But unfortunately, we do have parents that just they love their child, but they just seem to be in a an induced state of hypnotism. Or they actually believe that this is good because it's what you hear from government. They are to believe that their government is still working for them. It's a pill they can't swallow. They can't look in the mirror and say, hey, this government is nefarious and they're out to destroy us and everything that we hold sacred. And until they get to that turn point, they're still lost. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of anger there, Doug, because we're going to see, I mean, in terrorists today, the first day they had these inoculations for children, Doug, I drove by the hospital and there was a lineup of mm-hmm. people standing there with their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. I'm just going like, in Toronto, there was 9,000 administered the first day of the vaccine rollout in Toronto. 9,000 children were jibby-jabbed with poison, folks. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, and
we're so, in a la-la land.
So 9,000 children were jibby-jabbed, okay, with a bioweapon. To a population within the GTA of how many children? Was it 2 million under the age of 18? So 9,000 is what, 0.00?
Small number.
0.01%. It's bugger all. Is it working for them? Yes, because some parents, regrettably, like you say, I don't give them the excuse of being brainwashed. That's a choice. They chose to be brainwashed, and that's fine. That's okay. Their choice because you could choose not to be. Okay, that's it's always comes down to a choice. No matter what you see, if a guy sticks a gun in your face and says, "Give me your wallet," you have a choice. You can give me your wallet, and hopefully he won't shoot you and he'll leave, or you can disarm him and steal his wallet and then leave. Mm. It's your choice, but there's always a choice, and there might be two or three other choices. You know, I don't know. But at the same time, they're still not getting the deep penetration. They advertised 9,000 was jabbed the first day. How many were jabbed the second day or the third or the fourth? Mm. Right? So people are waking up. It's taking its time. And I'm very happy to be working with groups of people like this across Canada. And I'm very, you know, my pride isn't in what I'm doing. My pride is in what they're doing. And I'm really happy to be working with groups that have said enough is enough. And they are not jabbing their children. They are. I did a Zoom meeting a couple of months ago with a group of parents that said, well, you know, they want to jab our kids if we send them to school. And they wrote us a letter saying that they wouldn't. I said, they're lying to you because all they're going to do is lock the door and jab your children. Well, what do we do, Doug? What do we do? And I said, think about it just for a second. What do you think? What do you think you should do? And they, well, we're not going to send our kids to school. I said, there's your answer. There's your answer. And that's what needs to happen here, Barry. We need to continue to say no.
Well, you know what, Doug? It's not a matter of choice at this point. It's our duty. It is absolutely your duty to stand up against this, because this tyranny is very, very real. They're not hiding it anymore. They're not trying to keep it. All you really, like I said, Doug, all people have to do is go look at the data and then read the data and then try and rationalize in your own mind anything that they've done in the last 2 years that makes any sense in any shape or form. Yeah. And you'll come up with the same conclusion that most people do, is that there is no common sense to anything they're doing. Now we're back to square one. So what, we're going to allow the same people now, Doug, that told us to wear masks, told us to go get vaccinated, social distance, self-isolate, all this other crap in the beginning because we had to stop the spread, and now we're back to another major breakout of a variant that I have yet, and I challenge people out there, show me a death in Canada attached to the Omicron variant. There isn't. It's a cold. We're shutting down society, Doug, over a cold.
Yeah,
just
but here,
goes to show you some of the depths that people have fallen into. Go ahead.
So you say there's an Omicron variant. I ask you to prove it to me, please. Please show me the isolation. I want to see the white paper show it was isolated in human beings, and they cannot. Because they haven't, SARS-CoV-2 has never been isolated in human beings. SARS-CoV-2, I actually have the patent for it from 2004. And it was, it's a computer model. That's all it is. And here's the other thing. So everybody gets off on this. Well, the gain of function, Dr. Fauci, gain of function at the Wuhan lab, and the Wuhan lab leaked, and the virus escaped from the Wuhan lab. Well, here's the thing. Gain of function was to get the in silico model onto a human cell, put it into a mouse, and hopefully it would uptake, right? So that it would uptake into human beings. That was the design of gain of function. How do we know that it didn't work? Do you know how we know it didn't work? Do we have SARS-CoV-2 isolated in human beings anywhere on planet Earth? No, we don't. So his gain of function work did not work. It didn't uptake. We know that to be a fact because we know now today that SARS-CoV-2 has never been isolated in human beings, ever, at all. There is no virus. There is no Wuhan lab leak. It's all lies. Mm. Yeah. And if that's a lie, how is the Delta variant based on what? How is the Omicron variant is based on what?
Yeah, and how come do they have tests for all these different variants now?
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, somebody answer that question for me.
They're making it up.
Of course, I know that. I know. And what I said about a variant, Doug, all we have right now is a common cold that they are labeling. That's all we have. This Omicron crap, it's sniffy, runny nose, exact same symptoms you get with a cold. It isn't killing anybody. So all I'm trying to say is, why can't society do a half an hour research and sit down on a computer and then look at the death line? Look at nothing else. Nothing else matters. Yeah. Just look at the death line and then ask yourself, if all these brand new restrictions that we're seeing are coming in again that are just absolute draconian and they're just ramping it up, mandatory vaccinations, shutting down the country, lockdowns all over the place again, what is really going on? It doesn't make any sense in any shape or form. Why can't people sit down for an hour and ask them those questions, Doug? Because if you do, and you honestly look at it, your whole thinking will change, and that'll be the end of this, because Canadians will be making up in mass. We need that to happen right now. What is stopping that? What is our biggest blockade?
One of the
I bang my head against the wall every day. Buddy, go ahead.
One of the things that I've learned over the last couple of years, and from years before as well, it's kind of coming into play, or come into play, is that everybody has a learning rate different to everybody else. So you can only give people so much information, and the uptake of that information is different in everybody. And so some people pick it up real quick and run with it. Other people, not so quick, and it takes them a few weeks, and then they run with it. And other people don't take it up at all. They just can't absorb it. And you have to understand that. So everybody isn't the same. They would love to brush us with that homogenized brush that all human beings are the same, except we're not. We're all individuals. And that's the beautiful part about humanity, is our individualism. But also within that individualism, we have various rates of intelligence. Some are just dog stupid and can never be helped. And then there are others that are there to be helped, but over time. And then there are others that take it up very quickly and run with it to help others. And so the one thing that they didn't take into account, they thought they could do this a lot faster. This was implemented 5 years before it was supposed to be implemented. And they figured they could compress this into at least a year to 18 months, and then they would have us all enslaved. It's now 2 years, and they're losing the narrative, and it's starting to get bad, worse and worse. Now, if that headline that I read, right, they want to do the Emergency Powers Act, shut the whole country down again. That, I think, with the people now seeing that there is no deadly virus, that this thing is not, that their narrative is crumbling in front of them. If they were to do that, I think we would see Trudeau hung. I think I think that would be the trigger that would push, and he'd be down in Cuba with his family, the Castro family, real quick.
Well, Doug, I really, you know, I really hope it doesn't get to that, because it's going to be blood on the streets. You know, and I know that if they come out with this, that will be the camel that, or the straw that broke the camel's back.
Could be the camel that broke the straw's back.
Well, either, we know it's not going to be nice. But you know, nothing's off the table right now. These, like you said, and I'm going to reiterate one you just said there, is that they're losing the narrative. They know it. They know right now that there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of Canadians now really starting to understand what is going on, starting to understand the danger that our country is in, and are all of a sudden starting to grow some testicles. And I hate to use that word, but I see that. I see men starting to stand up. We need them all to stand up right now in mass. The blood of our forefathers has to be coursing through our brains. Doug, you know, in the Second World War, we were the most feared fighters in the world. Our grandparents and our forefathers, they fought and gave up their lives for what we're giving away right now for nothing. And I really start to see a change in people. I hate, maybe this sounds corny, but we got to challenge men to be men. We really do. We got to take that mask off for one. Come on, stand up. Like, what is going on in our world? You want to live in a draconian society that your whole life is going to be dictated by evil entities that have no concern about the future of your family, would kill your child in front of your face and it wouldn't fizz on them? These are the kind of people that we're dealing with. They're very evil people. That's how I describe them, because there is no other description for what they're doing. People that are hurting children on purpose, there is a place in hell waiting for them, Doug. I honestly believe that. But in the meantime, they're going to raise a little hell on this planet. It's up to us now to get up and get off our butt and stop it, man. Because time, like you said, the time is getting short. I'm not saying we're out of time. I'm saying that we need to get off our butts and make this year the one that we stop this entire period.
Well, and you're absolutely correct. And right now, see, the whole thing behind all of this is that they believe they're above any laws. And that's the horrible part of this, that we no longer have law. We have lawfare. In other words, the laws that are on the book apply to you, but not to them. Because the courts and the prosecutors will not enforce the laws on the polis and the administrators that are breaking these laws with impunity. yet you break the law, and they will take that full extent of that sledgehammer and bring it down on top of your head and blow you up. I'll tell you a quick story. So, you know, I got a ticket December the 5th of 2020 when I – where is it? Yeah, 2020. I can't remember. Anyways, about a year ago, so 2020. I spoke at a rally in Red Deer, and they gave me a ticket for $1,200, $1,200 fine ticket. Yeah, okay. So I go, blah, blah, blah. I send it in, and I'm going to contest the ticket, blah, 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 so we contest the ticket. So I want to do a constitutional challenge on the Public Health Act under 24.1, 24.2 here in Canada. So I engage an attorney, a constitutional attorney, and I didn't engage him to defend me as much as I engaged him to go and file proper procedure. Okay? I can defend myself in court. What I can't do is go through 2,000 pages of procedure here in Alberta to go into court. But so that's why you engage an attorney. You engage an attorney for procedure, not law. So anyways, okay. But he's a really good guy. He's a smart, smart attorney. Anyway, so we're talking and, you know, a little strategy behind the scenes. And, you know, he says, we're going to subpoena Dina Henshaw, and ask her for proof of iris. And I said, yeah, that's what we need. That's what I want to do. He says, okay. And I said, well, then we'll go do that. So there's a conference last September where the Crown, the special prosecutor coming out of Calgary to come up to Red Deer to prosecute my case, the judge and my attorney were in this meeting. And I thought it was kind of – so he's telling me this. And the judge asked the Crown, how much time will you need to prosecute Mr. Force? And the Crown said, well, we need about an hour of court time. So the judge turns to my attorney. He says, how much time will you need to prosecute this $1,200 ticket or to defend Mr. Force against this $1,200 ticket? And my attorney said, 5 days. I kid you not.
What? 5 days?
Because we're doing No. So we're doing this constitutional challenge. So anyway, so then there's an intervention. What my attorney didn't know is that the Attorney General of Canada was overseeing this Zoom call. And he intervened and he said to the judge, so when Mr. So-and-so, the Crown Special Prosecutor, is finished with his presentation for the court, I'm going to step in and prosecute Mr. Force on the constitutional challenge. Isn't that cool? The Attorney General of Canada is going to prosecute my case in provincial court.
Boy, you really ruffled some feathers there, didn't you, Doug?
I just thought it was hilarious. It's a $1,200.
The Attorney General is going to get involved. I mean, so come on, folks. What's going on?
5 days of court time. 5 days of court time is $500,000. That's $500,000 in court
time. And at the end, okay, you lost Mr. Force Pants for $1,200. cost the Canadian PAX taxpayer $500,000, but don't worry about it. It's the price of doing business.
It's what they call lawfare.
Lawfare.
It's just hilarious. And I was, because my attorney said, yeah, he said, I want 5 days court time. I thought that my attorney was going to tell me, well, they dropped the case because that's absolutely ridiculous. No sane person would give 5 days on a $1,200 ticket. But no, they actually went, like, holy crap, I can't believe it.
How? I can't believe that either.
How absolutely, utterly ridiculous is this?
Who's in charge of that department? I mean, fire the guy.
Well, I mean, this is
it's just, that's lunacy. It's lunacy.
It is. I'm still chuckling about it. Now, the case is set for next June. Whether it actually takes place or not, I'm not going to hold my breath, to be honest with you. My gut feeling on it is that we'll get close to the court date and they're just going to say it's been dismissed.
Yeah. Well, that's happening all across the country right now, Doug. You know that, eh?
Oh, I know.
And that's good, because they don't want to go to court with us because they know they haven't got a foot to stand on.
Well, especially
if you stand up to them. Go ahead. If you stand up to them, they back down. Go ahead.
Especially when I can prove on the record that there is no virus.
Boy, we'd love to get that on CBC for a night, wouldn't you?
Oh,
wouldn't we love to be able to just take over our mainstream media in this country for a day and put information out to the Canadian people they need to hear? Doug, you'd see a cry go across this country from coast to coast, and you'd see people on the street, and you'd see this come to an end in a day if we could get this information out to the Canadian people. Look what's going on in Quebec right now, Doug. Thousands. Oh, I know. Like, I was looking at the video, folks. Come on. Talking about police state. Thousands, literally thousands of cops on the street after 10 o'clock, going down the street in their armored vehicles with blowhorns. Yep. I mean, come on, folks. What is it going to take for people to wake up? But, you know, the thing about that, Doug, is the Quebec people, they got a little bit of a backbone compared to the rest of Canada. And if we're going to see violence break out in Canada, and I honestly believe, Doug, I was going to say this earlier in the hour, I honestly believe that they're doing this on purpose so that because they know the Quebec people aren't going to take it. That if we don't see, and I honestly believe this, if we don't see violence erupt in Quebec over this, the last round of what the restrictions the government just announced there, if we don't see violence, then I don't know what to say, because they're the only people in Canada right now as a group that will stand up against the complete attack on their freedoms. They don't take it. The rest of Canada just seem to go along to get along. But I think that'll be a flare point or a starting point for what you talked about, the meeting that Trudeau's having with the ministers. If that was to break out into violence, boy, that would sure fit right into their agenda and their narrative, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm not really sure that that whole article is actually factual, that there will be a meeting and all this other stuff. I just, it's been making its rounds. A couple of people sent it to me on Facebook this morning. I saw it up on Twitter as well. So, and I just thought I would bring that to your attention. Whether it's a real thing or whether it's not, and if it is a real thing, yeah, they're in deep, deep, deep trouble. If it's not a real thing, then it's just, once again, propaganda to propagandize and instill fear into the people that, oh, well, if you don't toe the line and be good little boys and girls and take your bioweapon jabs and die properly, where we can then steal all your land without you being there.
Hey, look at Doug. We only got a couple minutes left. You want to explain real quickly what happens when the War Measure Act is enacted in Canada? I know that you have that kind of information. Why don't you share that with us, then I'll have to let you go, my friend.
Well, the only time it's ever been actually implemented in Canada was under Pierre Elliott Trudeau when in Quebec.
The FLQ.
Under the FLQ uprisings. And basically, what happens under that lockdown is that, yes, there's curfews put in, people are taken off the streets at sunset, and because they're trying to locate these people that were the FLQ that were trying to, so they're not going to institute war measures because that's very difficult, but they will institute an emergency medical measures, and that's provincial. By the way, the federal government can't really do that. That's provincial. That's why, if this is true, this is why he's having this meeting, so that they give up their right to do that and allow the federal authority to do it. But they would have to sign away their provincial rights in order for that to be implemented by the federal government. Because the federal government knows that if they go to war measures, there is no war. Nobody would follow it, including the military. They'd tell them to bounce in, get out of here. There is no war, you know, because there isn't. You know, there is no terrorist uprising. There are no people being blown up in subways in Toronto and in Montreal. Why would you institute war measures? That you're not trying. There's nothing there. There's no war.
Be interesting to see what happens in the next little while, Doug, because you know they're going to go hardcore any way they can come at us. They're going to come at us in the next couple months. You're going to hear the narrative ramp up about us unvaccinated people being the biggest threat in the world, and we have to be taken out of society and blah, blah, blah. It'll be on every radio station and every TV station hardcore for the next 2 months.
Yeah, the problem that they're having with that is that it's starting to fall on deaf ears, because people are realizing, wait a minute, that's not true. If you know, and they're still the stupid people at the bottom, but you can't ever deal with them. They'll just drag you down to their level and beat the heck out of you. But those that have reasonableness that have been double jabbed and they'll have been, okay, well, you're going to lose your job because you're no longer considered vaxxed, so we're going to fire you if you don't take a booster, are going, wait a minute. Yeah. What the heck is really going on here? Yeah. You know, and if this doesn't protect me from a guy who didn't take this, what the heck is really going on here? How is he dangerous to me if I can get this so-called magic virus and die from it? And I've had supposed to have protection if this thing isn't protecting me. So that's the narrative that's breaking down. And I think, that, yeah, they're going to try to say it's because of the un-bio-jabbed or bioweapon jab. And I think that's going to do them more harm than it will do them good.
I think so, too. Doug, our time is up.
It is.
That hour went by very quickly. I want to thank you for coming in and sharing your thoughts today. And I look forward to the next time that we can have a chat. Can you quickly share with people where they can find you? And I'll have to let you go.
Absolutely. I work with Wayne Peters at a little task force called ethicsoverfear.com. We've done some pretty amazing work, he and I, over the last, I don't know, almost a year now with what we've got there. My main website for me specifically is themythiscanada.com or .ca. So.
Thanks again for coming in, Doug. And Wayne's going to join me next week, so he'll bring us up on an update, guys, on what's going on. I was told to watch the website this week because there's going to be some stuff happening. So tune in and watch what's going on with Ethical Fears, guys, and get involved with that website. Good organization, great people. Thanks again for coming in, Doug.
Thank you for having me, Barry. Take care.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye for now.
Okay, folks, I'll be back in a couple minutes with Mr. Jürgen Wallrath. On the break here, we're going to play a little tune that Jürgen produced and made. So let's have a listen, and I'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Today, everybody's got it.
welcome back, Third Hour, folks. And it's always a pleasure to have Jürgen Wallrath back in for a conversation. Welcome back to the show, Jürgen. And, you know, I always like to start the conversation off with your pet peeve of the week. So what would be your pet peeve of the week this week, sir? And like I said, welcome back.
Well, thanks a lot, Barry. And I'll tell you what, the pet peeve of the week is basically we just started a new year. So basically for me, after having served last year on Facebook, having served 8 months out of 12 in Facebook jail and only having 4 months basically to be allowed to express my opinion on that particular social media platform, I've come up with what we've learned over last year. I've come up with a list of 10 things. So basically what we learned over the last over 2021, ladies and gentlemen, coming into this year, number one is that if you're a liberal Democrat or a Marxist, you can commit any crime, and the corporate lying media will make you the victim, like Alec Baldwin, Jussie Smollett. They will take you and make you the victim. We learned that. We saw it on those occasions and several other occasions. So you can be a liberal Democrat, basically commit any crime, and you will be covered. Your butt will be covered. Just the Cuomos are another example. Number two, being inoculated means you can still get it. We learned that this year as well, didn't we? So that's number two. That's another thing we should learn. We should put it in our hat and remember that they lied to us and said 15 days to flatten the curve. Now you need three shots to keep your job or go to a movie. Now, that's what we learned. Number three, what we learned is that the heroes of the left are all scumbags, right? You look at Avenatti. He was going to be the greatest president the U.S. has ever seen. CNN had Avenatti on for a whole year when Trump was running, claiming this guy was going to be the savior of the United States. He's ended up in jail for the millions of dollars he tried to get out of Nike, right? And you've got Clinton, and you've got Cuomo, who gets the Emmy Awards or whatever the heck he got from television awards for being a great savior of New York State, another scumbag. So we learned that the heroes of the left are scumbags. That was number three. Number four, we learned this as well last year. Lockdowns don't work. You have a look at Florida, have a look at Texas, have a look at Sweden, have a look at any jurisdiction where there's no lockdowns. Everybody's doing fine. They're living life, and everything is great. Number five, tyrants want lockdowns. You can see it everywhere. Even those so-called conservatives who run on a platform of freedom and free choice, they're the lion scumbags who want lockdowns all of a sudden, aren't they? It just goes to show us what we learned there is that these political hacks have no allegiance other than what comes down to them from above them, not the people who elect them. Number six, we learned this last year as well. In 2021, we learned that Hollywood produces a cesspit of woke trash. You just saw another thing come out called Santa Inc. And all it did was destroy the idea that white people are good people. All it does is just do this race-baiting garbage. And that's all they do. It's all they have on a 24/7 a cycle in their news. It's racism. It's misogynism. You look at what Justin Trudeau just did. He called half the people of this country, Canada, misogynist and racist because you don't get the jab. Suddenly that makes you a racist. So we learned that. Number seven, we also learned last year that pedos are welcome in alphabet agencies. We saw all kinds of videos. We've seen all kinds of guys arrested at the higher levels in these alphabet agencies that just love to diddle children. And I'm sick of it. And it's time that we got these good people out. We got to call them out, every single one of them. The age of sodomized, the age of sodomy has to be over, because that's what I'm calling this, because we're living in it. We've elected so many people that are deviants, and we need them out. We learned that, and they're in the alphabet agency. So number eight, we also learned this. Propaganda is rampant. It's everywhere. They're lying to us on a steady stream 24/7. There's no truth out there unless you really seek it. It's certainly not coming from the box that everybody turns on every day. Number nine, the thing that's happening with all of this is that more people are awakening to it. That's the good part, because eventually truth rises to the top of propaganda. They cannot continue to keep lying. Eventually, the truth rises to the top. And number 10, the other thing we learned is that the leftist leaders are, for the most part, they're crooked and they're bad. Look at every single city run by a leftist. I don't care if it's in Canada. I don't care if it's in the United States, wherever it is. They've all gone to crap. You look at San Francisco. You have an app now that shows you where the poop on the streets is. Is this the way to run a city, to allow people to do this kind of stuff? And they've been doing this for years. How is it possible that we've allowed this to happen, right? So anyways, that was the 10 sort of things that I feel that we've learned this last year. There are other things, of course. If you've been paying attention, you've also noticed that euthanasia is rising to another level. We have the death culture growing rapidly wherever you look. People seem to enjoy the fact that most of the population is starting to diminish. We're losing lots of athletes, left, right, and center, lots of football players with heart attacks, and nobody's saying a thing. There was a time in this country and in Western society when people were dying of inoculations. They would stop the inoculations and do tests to see what these adverse effects were. But we've left that age of common sense, and we've entered the age of dystopia. That's where we're at.
Well, especially when taking consideration that this so-called jibby jab now has killed more people than all jibby jabs combined for the last, 22 years was the number that I came up with. What the heck is going on there, Jürgen? Any time in history that a jibby jab, I call them jibby jabs because I like that. That's really what they are. But anyways, we'll call them vaccines because that's what people identify with. But any time in history a vaccine has come out and people started dying, and I believe it was the MNRI vaccine that 50 people. I'll stand corrected. I'm not sure if I have the right one that was actually brought out, but they brought one out and it killed 50 people, and they immediately took it off the shelf. And now we've had reports out of VAERS. Now, I look into the reports at VAERS, and I also listen to a study done by Hanford University on exactly how many of reports that are actually being reported. In other words, right now VAERS, I believe the number is 17,000 and change that have died. That's actually a fraction of what is actually happening. The numbers that we're actually going to see here in the very near future are just going to knock society right off their feet, that this is the perfect bioweapon. One of the things that I wanted to talk about for a minute with you, Jürgen, I don't know if you're aware of this, the different coding and the different doses that they're putting into these vaccines. They'll put out batches that are basically not going to harm you in any shape or form, but 15 out of 100 will do terrible damage to the human being. I believe the reason that that is being done is that we don't raise the alarm bell too quickly. So that a majority of people are getting this shot and they're not experiencing any kind of adverse effects. And those are the ones that are out there preaching far and wide that it's safe and effective and it's not hurting them. What do you think? Have you looked into that at all? Because there's a lot to it and a lot of reports coming out about that.
I'm completely on board with that. I watched a video. We've seen a couple of things, actually, where a doctor had said she noticed that there were numbers on the vials, and the numbers were from 1, 2 to 3. And number one was more of a saline thing. Number two was actually a vaccination. And number three was something that would kick in at 15% to die. There's actually one that will cause the myocarditis and all that sort of stuff. And that's given generally to the general population, I guess. So they've selected who they're going to give number 1, 2, and 3 to, I think.
I think so too.
I think that's possible. It's really possible, for sure. You look at some of these celebrities, you look at some of these high-profile people claim to have gotten the jab. Do you think they're getting the same thing we're getting? I don't think so.
I don't think so at all. I think they're targeting sectors of our society. I think the biggest target in our society now, of course, is the elders in our country, because they're the ones that contain or have the knowledge and are going to be able to pass that on to younger people. And we see an outright attack on elderly people. We're targets now. You and me are targets. They want to eliminate us so that we don't share our knowledge with the younger generation, that all they get is the propaganda coming through on the machine. Boy, I'll tell you, we have really woken up in a la-la land. I knew that, you know, things were going to get crazy. We talked about it last year. Things were going to get crazier and crazier. I think in the next couple of months, it's all out war. They're losing, like you said, they're losing the narrative very quickly that there's literally hundreds of thousands of Canadians now that are really starting to ask some serious questions of themselves and the narrative. So they have to push this really hard. They're going to go all out here in the next couple of months. It's going to shock people, some of the stuff that comes out here. I honestly believe that. What do you think?
I totally agree with you, but here's the flip side of that. I think the stuff that's going to come out eventually is going to be so positive.
Crazy.
for the movement of humanity to move in a proper direction. Because, you know, when you look at it, there's always darkness before the light. And what we're going to see in the next few months, we're going to see a heck of a lot more darkness because these people are not going to give up and go quietly into the night. They're going to push whatever they can up to a nuclear threat, whatever. I mean, you look at what's happening right now off the coast of California. How many of those ships are real container ships, and how many are just containers hiding weapons of mass destruction aimed at the United States? We don't know any of that, do we? I mean, there could be
submarines.
That's
a big question, isn't it?
We don't know anything that's going on there.
Yeah, right? That's a big question, Jürgen. It really is.
It's a huge question. I mean, that is something that's really big. But, you kind of look at it and say, well, what is really going on and who is really in charge? Because there's so many things come up and you're saying, well, it can't be Biden. Otherwise, this would have happened. And it can't be Trump. Otherwise, that would have happened. So I think we're all in sort of this la-la land wondering who's really in charge. But here's the big thing that I keep thinking about, and that's 2022 this year. The midterms are in the U.S. If they don't clean up the last election, they can't have this election this year. So they're going to have to do something. Something is going to have to happen to burst that bubble of that stolen election, which we all know was stolen, right, which the media keeps pushing was the cleanest election in American history. We know that's BS, right? So that bubble has to burst. It has to, whether it comes from Arizona, which it looks like it may not, but it may come from one of those other states. Somebody in one of those other states has got to burst that thing. Right? It has to. It has to. Because we know the lies that happened during that. One guy just got busted, got paid $45,000 for filling out ballots. So this has to, it has to break. It can't stay down forever, that stolen election. It can't. And this notion that January 6th was the same as Pearl Harbor is just absolutely ludicrous. It's insane what they've done here. They call this an insurrection when you got people walking between velvet ropes. Taking
I know.
A back spot. You know, come well, on. The only person murdered there was a peaceful woman who got murdered by a Capitol Hill cop.
Well, I hope you're right, Jürgen. I'm watching what's going on with the states with this election, and we all know it was the biggest theft in history. Whether it'll ever come out, I ask myself, I wonder, because we had an event happen in 2001 that the whole world knows is the biggest lie ever told outside of COVID. Yeah. It's the biggest lie ever told to the human race. Yet the individuals responsible for that have not come to justice. That's a wound in the side of the American people that has to be healed if they're ever going to go forward. 9/11 has to be brought to the forefront, and that has to be rectified. And until that is rectified, I think we're banging our heads against the wall. Whether this election theft in the United States of America is ever rectified, after I see what's going on with 9/11, with the amount of information that's come over the last 20 years about it, and it still hasn't been addressed, it makes me wonder, Jürgen. And you might understand why. Go ahead.
Yeah, and the disturbing thing about it is that Trump had 4 years to bring it all out, didn't he? And he didn't do it, did he?
Listen, if Trump was such a goody-goody guy, folks, I'll tell you something. There isn't enough money in this world to convince me, Jürgen, that Donald J. Trump is not fully aware of what exactly happened on 9/11. He's fully aware of the players behind the scene.
Yeah.
And that is something, you know, there's things that he's done that I love, but that there alone is a monumental question. If you really wanted to heal the wounds in the United States of America, why did you not bring forward immediately, as soon as you became president, when you had the power, a proper investigation, bring the players to justice and heal the wound and put it to rest?
Barry,
that's what should have been
let's
done.
Let's take it one step further. Let's go back further. Why didn't he release all the information about the JFK assassination?
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. He could have gone to that because his friend was JFK Jr. Why didn't he go bring that out? Right?
It's a big question, isn't it, Jürgen?
Because he had that opportunity. That is one thing. That file's been sealed for what, since 1963? When Kennedy got assassinated and then his brother assassinated a few years later? Come on. Trump could have brought all that, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it, and he could have done that. And then the 9/11 after that. I mean, there's so many opportunities he had, and now we're sitting there thinking that everything is going to be better because of him. I don't know. People are going to be disillusioned, I believe.
Yeah,
it's got to come from the people, not Donald J. Trump.
Exactly. Outside of all, you know, he has done, I got to admit, I've looked at what he's done in the United States of America, but there's always that nagging question is why 9/11 wasn't addressed when he had the power to do it.
Yeah.
He could have brought in an independent inquiry. And you know what? If the information, the actual facts came out, it would be blown wide open. So who is he protecting and who is pulling his strings?
And remember, during the debate, control opposition, buddy. Remember when he said to Hillary Clinton at the debates, if I was president, you'd be in jail? Well, guess what? She's still walking around.
Still walking free. Yeah.
Still walking free. 30,000 emails erased. 30,000 emails sent to the Chinese. All this information sent to the Chinese, and they're still walking around. Eric Swalwell's still walking around after sleeping with a Chinese spy. Diane Feinstein, being connected with Chinese, had a Chinese spy as a driver for 20 years. Nobody says nothing about that, do they? No big deal. Right?
None of the dirt on Pelosi's ever talked about.
By the Chinese. Nobody said nothing about that either.
Of course.
Well, I'm just so fed up with that. And now you got LeBron James all happy that the NBA has bought a piece of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So now the NHL is also compromised by the Chinese. It's absolutely brutal what they're doing. Sorry. Go ahead, Larry.
Well, no, you're absolutely correct. When we have these conversations, it probably sounds to people listening to this conversation that it's monumental, that we don't have a chance, that there's so many things working against us right now that it's going to take an act of God to stop it all. But you know what? It's not going to take that, folks. All it's going to take is people to get off their butts and stand up. And if we did that as a nation, this would all come to a stop. What's it going to take to get to people that point? I don't know. You're going to bang my head against the wall every day asking that question. What is it going to take for people to wake up? We're in such a state of brainwashed, hypnotized society. It's almost like a cult now. And Justin Trudeau is the cult leader. It doesn't matter. That guy could shoot somebody in the street and people still think he's a good guy. Oh, he was shooting an unvaxxed person. Got to get rid of them, Jürgen. If you hear the rhetoric coming out of him, it's almost word for word, buddy, a rhetoric that Hitler used in the Second World War, almost word for word.
And here's the thing. They were saying when Donald Trump was president, he could walk down New York and kill somebody and still be president. Well, look what Alec Baldwin just did. He just killed somebody and he's still walking, isn't he?
Yeah, and he'll probably get a get-out-of-jail-free card because of skin actions and everything else, of course.
That's what they do.
One law for them and one law for us, Jürgen. You know?
Yeah, exactly right.
You think I asked Doug this in the first hour or in the second hour. Do you think we're going to get out of this without resorting to violence, Jürgen? Is it going to get to that point? Are they going to push us up against the wall so hard that people are forced to react? What do you think?
Well, I think some may snap. I think some have already snapped. The problem with some of them is that they snap in the wrong direction and they take their own lives. I think you're going to see some now, eventually you're going to see some that aren't going to take their own lives. They're going to take it out on somebody else. I think that will come eventually if this gets any darker, and it's going to get darker because we're going to see supplies diminish, I believe. You look around, there's no Captain America. Nobody's coming to save us. We have to save ourselves. We have to form parallel systems. We have to join communities of like-minded people. We have to get rid of these idiots in our lives. Just get rid of them. Sorry. See you later. I have no use for you anymore. If you at this point don't know what's going on, you're an idiot. I really don't have any hope for you. I really don't. If you can't see that you've had three boosters and now they want you to take another one in order to enjoy a regular life? Are you crazy?
That's what's coming down the tubes, guys. There's going to be the third booster, and then they're going to come and tell you, oh, wait a second, we've got a new variant, got to get a new booster. And if you don't take that booster, your vax pass that you think is your now ticket to freedom in this country is going to be null and void. You're going to be up against the wall. But you know what? Let's talk just for a minute, Jurgen, about vaccine-induced immune deficiency syndrome. And I have read multiple reports by top-notch doctors explaining what's going to happen to our immune system the more and more boosters that we put into our body. We're basically destroying our immune system. Henceforth, humans are going to be very, very vulnerable to just about anything that comes along. After a third booster, you could be looking at up to 75% reduction in the immune ability of your body. Actually, I had Chris Skye. Had a conversation with him yesterday, and he's got the paperwork to prove this, but he did a study of three people that were going to go get their Jibby jabs. So he asked them to do a white blood count prior to getting the first shot and then to get a blood test done after the second and the first and then the second shot. And I'll tell you, buddy, the numbers, and he's got it in black and white, and I can get that to anybody who wants to see it, these actual numbers of the reduction in white blood count in these individuals that expose themselves to this vaccine. So what are they doing? They're destroying our ability to fight off disease. Well, how would that work for them? Well, of course, people are going to get sicker. So the new variant is causing everybody to get sick. So we got to give you another vaccine. I mean, it's just going to go on and on. That's just one deviation of a rabbit hole, but it goes to show you where they could take society when they've got them basically like putty in their hands. Like, people are screaming to get their lights back. Well, they got us, like, the Canadian people are like, they're like little doggies, you know, rollovers, ICUs, isolations, numbers, cases, and Canadians just, oh, rollover, okay, speak. People just want their lives back. And what they've got to realize, Jurgen, the longer they comply, and we've said this so many times, the longer you go along with this crap, the longer and more dangerous and crazy it's going to get. And we see that. I drive around Terrace. Everybody's still wearing masks, man. I mean, it's been 2 years and we're still allowing the people that took care of us in the beginning to look after the problem now. Well, that's the definition of insanity, Jurgen. Insanity. But here we are. It is. Square one. 15 days, like you said, to flatten the curve.
They're taking euthanasia to another level. When you think about it, I look at my grandchild. He's my oldest is 8 years old. He's lived now 25% of his life under masked rules. So what kind of world are we creating for these children? They can't see the expressions on the teachers' faces. They're not supposed to see that. They're not supposed to see reactions on faces to help guide or interact into reactions with other humans. So societal behaviors are being molded by these mask mandates and lockdowns specifically into the younger generation to create a generation of people that are going to be living in constant fear. And that is the idea. And, oh, absolutely. Compliant, living in fear, afraid of everything. And only the government has the answers for you. Nobody else has any answers. There's no answers in faith or prayer or in good health or good having a good diet. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that government is here for you and we're here to save you. We created this mess. We're not going to tell you that, but we're here to save you from the mess that we created. And at the same time, we're going to take your money and continue to spend it and live lavish lifestyles while you look up to us and make sure that you keep applauding every move that we make, because the media is going to make sure that you applaud every move that we make.
And of
course, absolutely insidious. The whole thing has to be burnt to the ground.
And of course, anything that does go wrong, it's not our fault. It's your fault. It's your fault for everything that's going on. So come on, guys, get it together here. Like we're trying to help you here. And
climate change is your fault. It's all your fault, right?
Anything.
It's not the bunker fuel in the ocean. It's not the chemtrails. It's not the bunker fuel in the oceans. Have you seen the latest reports on the bunker fuels? It is absolutely disgusting what's going on with the bunker fuel, and nobody talks about it.
talk about it for a minute, because I just read those reports. But go ahead, talk about it for a minute, Jürgen, because people got to hear this.
We've got cargo ships all over the planet, ladies and gentlemen, that while they're within the borders of a specific country, they have to burn the best fuel, the cleanest fuel, because of these climate change standards that these clowns impose on all of us. As soon as they're in international waters, they use the cheapest bunker fuel that lets off all of these gases into the atmosphere that goes up into the chemtrails that combines with the chemicals they have that they're spraying from the airplanes to create weather madness. They hook it up with HAARP. Look it up, HAARP. Look it up. They use HAARP all over the planet to direct cloud formations, to direct wind patterns. They've been using it for years. And now this bunker fuel adds even more poisons into the airs. Look at it. You combine now, I mean, when you think about the Pacific Ocean, it's absolutely disgusting when you think about how many ships travel back and forth from China to the west, to the west coast of America. How many ships travel that Pacific Ocean? Now you've got that bunker fuel being dumped into that ocean by the millions of barrels, okay? And on top of that, you've got 11 plus years of radiation into the Pacific Ocean. What do you think is happening to the water?
Unbelievable.
As they tell you, that you shouldn't be driving your SUV because you're talking climate change.
But don't worry about the death of the Pacific Ocean. We'll figure something out when that happens. But you know what?
We'll go to France and figure it out as we're drinking wine.
Yeah, in our jet. But, yeah. What's going on in the Pacific, Jürgen? People have no. I don't think most people are aware of just how bad the ocean is getting. And you hit on it. I mean, the bunker fuel. The bunker fuel is a big part of it, but I think the biggest part you hit on is nuclear and what's going in the ocean right now, continuously from Fukushima. And I use another word for it, but I can't use that on the radio. But you know that there's no solution to the problem. We can't get information out of Japan about what's actually going on in Fukushima. That you can get put in jail if you release information to the West about what's actually going on over there. But they have no solution to the problem. This is never going to go away. It's going to be going on for the next one scientist said 1,000 years before it actually stops affecting the ocean. Well, we look at what it's doing to the ocean right now, the numbers that we're seeing in our fish all up and down the West Coast, the reduction in size, the reduction in all species in the ocean. What's wrong with people? That's our source of life on the planet. We should be doing everything that we can possibly do to protect the ocean. And yet we're going the opposite way. One day it's going to stop functioning as an ecosystem on the planet. And then what are we going to do, folks? What are we going to do? You can't just make another ocean, Jürgen. The short-sightedness of man, it astounds me that people aren't paying attention. They don't seem to give a rat's butt about it, man. It's very, very sad. That's just one nuclear power plant that's gone south and it's created the problems. They're GE. They're what they are. They're GE Mark V generators, Jürgen. If you've looked into them at all, you'll find out that they're the worst design ever possible for a nuclear power plant. We have about 8 of those operating, I believe, 8 of them operating on the east coast of the United States of America. If we ever did have a major tsunami hit the east coast, which is always a possibility, it's happened before, it's going to happen again, we're definitely looking almost at nuclear suicide for the planet. I believe we do now have the possibility and the capability to wipe out all life on the planet. I wouldn't say that lightly, I wouldn't, but we look at what nuclear power has done. And what would happen if we did have, say, maybe 5 or 6 major meltdowns at one in a very short period of time? Of course, a major earthquake could cause that. A major tsunami could cause such a scenario. So what we've done to the Earth is we've put these nuclear power plants all over the planet, and we've said to Mother Nature, you can't do what you've done for hundreds of millions of years. It all has to come to a stop now because we built nuclear power plants, and you just can't do what you've done. Period. It's over. So you fault lines, you can't move anymore. It's absolute insanity what we've done with nuclear power plant. If my biggest cry to the world right now would be we have to eliminate that if we want to see a future of life on this planet. And I don't think I could say something in my talks that I ever believe more right now that it will be the end of life on this planet. I honestly believe that if we allow it to keep going. Maybe that sounds radical, but it's what I honestly believe. It's nuclear suicide.
Yeah, if you look at the damage that's caused just by the ones that we know in modern history, you look at the one in Russia, You look Chernobyl. At the one now in Japan, Chernobyl and
3 Mile Island.
The damage is just irreparable. It's just so huge. How do you clean that up? There's no way of cleaning it up. Mother Nature has no defense against that kind of madness that we've created. You know, and at the same time, we've got something like coal that is used all over the world. We've got buffers now that can clean the coal. I don't see any problem with us burning coal. I don't see us any problem burning fossil fuels. I see a massive problem with these wind turbines and this notion that the sun's going to shine 24 hours a day and that wind is always going to blow these massive turbines to produce power. I know at one point I was looking at the power grid and you start to, if you really look at it in Ontario, there were days where they had built all these turbines and you're looking at they provided like 0.02% of the power. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. And the billions being spent, it's just like the billions that they spend on these massive transit systems in every city that break down on a regular basis. I look at Ottawa now. I left Ottawa several years ago, and they were building this massive transit system that cost billions of dollars. It's breaking down every freaking winter. The thing doesn't run on a regular schedule. It's always breaking down, creating commuter havoc. And it's just a nightmare, first of all, from a commuting point of view, if it breaks down. And number two, financially, it's just a never-ending stream of money being flushed out of the citizens' pockets to provide this transportation for all kind of utopian nightmare, I call it. They call it a utopian dream. We're going to have mass transit. Everybody get on this one thing, and we're going to be good, and all the cars will be gone, and we won't pollute anymore because we're just such bad people for driving our cars and our SUVs. We're just so horrible for doing that, and we can't ride our horses anymore because they poop and they produce methane, so we can't do that anymore either. Because
got to get rid of cows. Get rid of the cows.
Get rid of the cows, too, because we got to eat fake meat. It's way better for us. Sure.
But don't ask us about the hundreds of thousands of barrels of highly radioactive water dumped into the Atlantic Ocean for years, and I believe they're still doing it to this day. We won't talk about that, will we, Jürgen? These are steel barrels, buddy. You know, eventually, you know what happens? You know what happens with steel and salt water? I mean, the Titanic's down 12. I know I shouldn't. I know. I'm sorry, Jürgen. I know they're listening to me. I shouldn't even have brought that up. But I read a study about how many barrels approximately has been, and they can't get an exact number, but it's staggering, the amount of barrels that have been dumped in the ocean. And that's going to the very bottom of the ocean. The deepest spots of the ocean is where they're dumping them. That's where all life starts, man. It's where it all starts. And they're radiating it to death. And we're going to see the effects of that for years and years and years going forward. It's like I said, Jürgen, if I could do anything right now to ensure a future for the humans on this planet, I would, if I had the power, I would outlaw all nuclear power plants. I'd shut them all down. And we'd have to figure out some way of disposing of the nuclear waste safe. Because it is just going to be a hazard going forward, buddy.
Before I forget, I'd like to remind your audience that we should say a prayer for Rocco Galati.
I agree.
We need Rocco to mend. There's another strong warrior. If we lose him, oh my gosh, I don't know what.
And he's in the hospital, Jürgen. He's in the hospital. We know what happens to people when they go into hospitals. It's the last place you want. Especially a guy like that. I don't think they're looking at him right now going, huh, we got him. Let's get rid of this guy because he is really a pain in our butt. Go ahead.
Have you seen that list that circled around after Kirsten W. just got killed?
I haven't seen that list. Bring me up to snuff on that.
Have you heard of Kirsten W.? She's had a YouTube channel. She's been an American patriot, spouting truth for a couple of years now. We followed her a lot. She's had a lot of shows. She's uncovered a lot of stuff. She's 59 years old. She was just dead in a California hospital. Again,
I've got to be honest.
They had her on a respirator. The same thing. She was very, very. I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of followers she had on YouTube alone. It was huge. Wow. She had a huge, huge show. Huge.
Well, I got to admit, I haven't heard of her, and I thought I've heard.
She's had Roseanne Barr on a lot. She talked with Roseanne a lot. and other people like that, David Rodriguez and other people like that. So she was very, very, very well respected in the Patriot community. And, wow. Hey, she's another one who's dead. So like I say, we need to pray for Rocco and make sure that Rocco's okay because we need him in this fight.
Boy, do we ever. And it would really make them happy if he was all of a sudden to disappear, man. That would play right into their hands, and they'd be drinking wine in their office. That's the people we're dealing with, Jurgen.
I have really, to
we have our hands full. Go ahead.
Oh, I know. I know. I just, you know, to go on a lighter note, I have a bit of advice for people. If the doctor ever tells you that you've got 3 or 4 months to live, go home and turn on the view. It'll give you the time seem longer. So. Sorry. You know, sometimes you got to have a little break, you know. I just think of that view, and I think of the three most miserable people on the planet are called Joy, Sonny, and Whoopi.
I know.
It just blows me away.
I can't even watch them. I get violently ill watching those three ladies talk. So
it's horrible.
I'm not up to date on the view at all. I can't tune in. It's like listening to Justin Trudeau talk, you know. And then, of course, now we got hockey. Go well. Hockey's back, but guess what? The only places that get a load of this, Jurgen. That the only places that NHL games are being canceled right now is in Canada, and get a load of this: New York, California, and Washington State. Liberal strongholds in the country are where they're shutting down teams. The rest of the country, let's go play hockey. Let's go into the rinks, 30,000 people, no masks, no social distancing. Let's play hockey. But just these liberal states are taking that away right now. Go figure, eh? Go figure.
Go figure is right. Yeah. No, it's absolutely maddening. And, you know, having been a fan of the Ottawa Senators for many years, I watched what they did to that team. It's a small market team, of course. They got pounded by COVID early in this season. And they allowed them to play. They got slaughtered in the month of November because they had half their team on COVID. And then after that, they said, oh, whoops, we better make sure that all these other teams don't go through what Ottawa did and have to call up all their players. So we just protect all the other teams and make sure that they shut them down for a couple of days if somebody gets sick. No, it's disgusting what they've done. All these players are vaccinated. They're still getting sick. Everybody should be waking up by now. And I can't believe there's not more athletes standing up to this crap.
You think these athletes, I mean, these guys have got millions and millions of dollars, okay? You don't think that they would go, of all the people in the world, when there's any kind of controversy surrounding these injections, which you don't have to be a rocket scientist. You're hearing it everywhere. Even if the mainstream is blocking it everywhere, you're still hearing about adverse effects in communities. People do talk.
Yes.
These guys that have everything to look forward in their life just have life by the shorts. They're set, and yet they're injecting this into their body. I don't understand that at all, Jurgen.
Here's a thought, Barry, and I don't know if this is real or not. It's just a thought that comes across my deranged brain, is that we're seeing tons of soccer players drop with heart attacks, okay?
Yes, we are.
Every day, almost, you're hearing another healthy soccer player drop. Okay, now here's the thing. Soccer is the most popular sport on the planet, right? It's everywhere because it's the cheapest sport for kids to play. You can kick a can around. It doesn't cost you anything. Right? Whereas football, all these other sports require a club, they require uniforms, they require special equipment, like hockey. Who can afford hockey? So here's my thought. They can kill off the random soccer players because there's billions of them on the planet, but they can only kill off one or two NFL and NHL players here and there because we would notice it.
Right.
Because there's only 700 players in the National Hockey League. There's only so many in the National Football League and the Basketball League, right? There's only so many. There's only 23 allowed per team. So you cannot have the same thing as you have in soccer. You cannot have them dropping like they are in soccer because we'd notice it. Because that's the sport we watch, right? But in soccer, if you've got one player a weekend or two or three dropping, it's no big deal. Nobody's going to pay attention. Because there's millions and billions of them. That's just my thought. Now, here's the flip side of that. If your favorite team is whatever it is and your favorite star just dropped dead, maybe your head will start to think, what happened to my favorite star?
Yeah, I've watched two reports of hockey players dying in Vancouver here in the last month. One was a 25-year-old goalie playing in Richmond. I had a heart attack on the ice. And, of course, you cannot play hockey at any level in British Columbia now if you're not double vaxxed. It's recreational, organized, any kind of hockey, you have to be double vaxxed. One was a 25-year-old goalie in Richmond, and then a 22-year-old forward in Langley. About a week later, died from a heart attack on the ice. You know, Jürgen, I played – that's two that I've got reports on. There's lots more going on, believe me. There's more that we're not hearing about. But you know what, Jürgen, I played hockey all my life. I played organized. Yeah. I played competitive hockey. All my life I played hockey. And I can't – and I thought about it. And I thought about it for hours. Have I ever heard of a hockey player in younger years, 25, 30 years of age, dying on the ice? And I can't remember of one in my lifetime. So maybe I've been lucky. Maybe I haven't. Yeah. It doesn't happen. We're healthy people, but all of a sudden young people are dying, and it's all the same thing. It's heart attacks. It's myocarditis. We look at the numbers in Ontario. They doubled since of August of this year. The numbers of incidences of myocarditis in Ontario have exactly doubled since August. And, you know, prior to that time, you know, in history, I kind of looked into it a bit. It's a very, very rare disorder in young people. It doesn't happen. But now it's happening on a regular basis. Yep. And the common denominating factor, of course, is they're all getting double jibby jabbed. So tell me it's a coincidence, Jürgen.
Yeah. No, it's there are no coincidences.
Everything we see going on, buddy.
Yeah, and we're in a situation where the communists basically have convinced humanity that the greatest threat to their existence is climate change and the pandemic, and it's not communism, right? Your greatest threat is climate change and this pandemic, not communism.
You know, remember, they convinced everybody of that. It's funny there. We didn't hear a lot about climate change for a while. I don't know if you know that.
Back, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
For a while there was nothing mentioned about it. Didn't hear about it. Now,
the first confirmed death of climate change has been reported, right? I saw that the other day.
Yeah. Okay.
The first one.
Well, they're sitting in their little ivory. They're all sitting in their ivory towers, going, ha, ha, "These guys will believe anything. Let's hit about this and see what they
do."
Oh, they believe it. Yahoo! I mean, these guys are laughing at us. I mean, come on,
guys. Sure are. The first confirmed case of climate change and death.
Here it comes. Now they're going to have to bring out a vaccine for climate change. Okay, take this vaccine, guys. Well, hey, Jürgen, whatever happened to carbon tax up here in Canada? Trudeau said it was going to save the world. Well, what's changed? Has anything changed? Well, wait a second. He promised he wasn't going to raise it when he brought it in for 5 years. That was his words. But now he's raised it three times, and he's going to raise it again. Well, people that, you know, Jürgen, this is the craziness about it, is that, you know, people I talk to, they hate Trudeau. They just hate him. He's an idiot. He's destroying our country. In the same mouthful, they're lining up to take a jab from this guy because he's telling them that it's safe and effective. What part of that I get? What don't I get? That's all you hear out of Trudeau, is it's safe and effective. But out of the other side of his mouth, he's going, well, guess what? It doesn't help you. It doesn't protect you. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. It's just, if you happen to get the virus, this killer virus, it doesn't even exist. If you do get it, you're just going to be a little bit less sick. That's all it's going to do for you, period. They've admitted that. That's a fact now. So why are they... Why do people even listen to the rhetoric when he tells them it's safe and effective? It isn't safe. It's not effective. And yet now they're talking about vaccine mandates in Canada. That's going to be the line in the sand that I have drawn, Jürgen. And I know a lot of Canadians feel the same way. That is absolute insanity. If we allow that to go forward, then we might as well just line up and start bowing to Heil Justin, because that's where he's taking us. We're not going to let it happen, buddy.
Yeah, there's a new variant out, eh? It's more varianter than the last variant. And I noticed that variants are morphing into giant variants, so variant that they vary in their variants. It's ridiculous. We all die eventually, Barry, but the fear of death will kill you a lot quicker. And now they've discovered that 80% of our deer are testing positive, and they're carriers.
Yeah, I know. We can't eat the deer anymore.
Where I live, the deer roam around our community here. They're allowed to roam around. So I'm really afraid I'm going to catch this from the deer. So I'm asking the government, can we not put some masks on the deer? Can we send out some people to go in the field and put masks on these deer so I don't catch from the deer that are now 80% positive?
Wow, that's a great idea, Jurgen.
What's going to happen if I go hunting for elk and the elk has Omicron?
You have a rapid test. You have a rapid test with you. No, you got to run up to the elk before you shoot him, do a rapid test on him, and if he's negative, you can shoot him. No problem. We got to figure it out, Jurgen. No problem.
Okay, can I bring a government guy with me on my hunt then to make sure I do it right? Obviously, it'd have to be a government guy because we won't be able to do it right. Only government people know the answers nowadays, right?
Well, yeah, they got to be the Ministry of the Test. I'll tell you what. Okay.
One of the most disgusting things in all of this, and I've got to tell you this, is my fellow citizens. My fellow citizens, especially the people that live in the Ottawa and Toronto area. I know so many people that work for the federal government that have been keeping their mouth shut, that are so happy to stay at home and collect a paycheck. I am absolutely disgusted by their behavior. They don't say anything. They're just happy to say, oh, well, you know, during all of this, I'm just so happy that I get to stay at home in my pajamas and do my job from my computer. And my boss just told me that I could stay. The next couple of months, it looks like I'll still be at home. So for 2 years, this one particular person that I'm thinking of right now has been at home in her pajamas, very happy to have her job, doesn't say boo, doesn't question anything, isn't concerned about any other Canadian who's losing their job. None of these people care about any of their fellow Canadians. None of them. And I'm sick of it. And these people that work for media, everybody out there, if you're not at your local TV, radio station, newspaper outlet that is spreading lies, then you're in the wrong place. That's where you need to go. It's time to make this personal. Nonviolent civil disobedience. Make it personal. The people that are lying to you live in your community. Go to their house. Tell them they're lying to you. Tell them you're not going to take it anymore and that you know the truth. Tell them that you know they're being paid by interests that don't care about the health and welfare of the general citizenry. Tell them that they're the liars and they're the ones that are going to be going to jail if they don't straighten up and start telling them the truth. They're the ones that are living in your community. They're your neighbors, and they're working for the radio and TV stations that are lying to you. Get to them. The ones that write these articles that tell you you have 87 genders. Pull him out of his house and tell him he's wrong. Tell him he's an idiot. It's time. They're taking away your livelihood. They've made it personal on you. They're taking away your job. They're taking away your opportunities. They're taking away everything from you. They're taking away your child's education. So it is personal. For anyone to say this isn't personal, it is. Every one of these people have a life, and every one of them lives beside somebody else who they're taking advantage of. Oh, sorry, Barry.
What's happened to her? What's happened to our society, Jurgen? Everything you sit there, I've resonated. Well, that's it. You know, society has turned into a bunch of cowards. We are a fraction. We are nothing compared to what Canadians were in the past, Jurgen. And I look at the history of Canada, and I look at our forefathers and what they did. And I said it in the first hour, second hour, that, you know, they died for our freedoms, and now we're just giving them away like it's candy. And all of a sudden, people are going to wake up one day here real soon, and they're going to wonder what the hell happened to their country. And why didn't somebody come along and save us? And why did this happen? Where are we going from now? It's going to go crazy. And you know what? They're going to play on that chaos. They always play on chaos. Well, of course, they create the chaos. And then, of course, chaos unleashes things in your brain that make you think very irrationally. You'll do anything it takes to get rid of that screaming in your brain. And, of course, along will come the government on their big white horse with the solutions, and people will gobble it up because they got to get rid of that scream. All of a sudden, the dollar collapses. All of a sudden, you can't buy food. You can't function in society. Of course, the government will come along on their big white horse again and have the solution to the problem. We're being set up here for a change in society you're in that I wouldn't wish on anybody, but we still have time to stop it. I honestly believe now is more important, and I say this all the time to my fellow Canadians and anybody that's listening to our voice right now, that there isn't an option right now. It is your absolute duty to get involved in any way, shape, or form that you can in stopping this. People say, well, I got no talent. Well, maybe you have something that we that other people can use to support what they're doing. Or maybe you do have a talent. Maybe you just don't know it. Maybe you just need to get out and get active and start feeling the energy of the other people that are getting active and what we understand is going on in this country and why we're fighting tooth and nail to stop it, because we don't want this for our children. We don't want any of this. None of us signed up for this, but it's being rammed down our throat right now. And it's absolutely imperative, folks. You know, the passion that you display, Jürgen, you touch my heart, because you know and I know that this is absolute hell on earth if this is allowed to go forward. That's exactly what it'll be, folks. It'll be hell. And I don't wish that on anybody. I've got children that are going to be living in this country for the next however many years, and I got grandchildren in this country. And I, with the last breath in my body, will not allow this to go forward. And I know you share those feelings, Jürgen, so thank you for your passion and your love for this country. You are a true jewel to Canada. That's all I'm going to say, buddy. You are a blessing to our world. And we need to get you on here more, because your passion is contagious. And I hope people out there felt what just came out of this man's heart, because it's real. We're trying our damnedest to wake you guys up. Go ahead, Jürgen.
You know, Barry, it's so hard for all of us to see through the cloak of the wolves dressed as sheep, but they're there within our flock, and they're everywhere. Now, we have learned to raise our level of awareness more. As our eyes are opened and our minds will continue to meld in peace and love, and that's what's going to win us this war, because we have a common cause to bring light to the truth, and we know that in our hearts and in our gut that we have a planetary resolve that will flourish and grow if we focus on compassion, love, and humanity in lightness, not in darkness. You know, the more of us that gather together, and here's the thing, every day we are reaching more people. Every day new eyes open to the true reality, and new ears hear the truth. Every day, with every new person that we add into our movement, we get stronger, and so we must carry on with a resolve that is like cement. We must not stop. We must hold our heads high. We must walk through that store maskless as the only one and be proud and say hello to the people wearing the mask, even though they give you a glance that makes you feel like they want to kill you. You give them a glance that shares love and compassion. You fight them with the goodness that was within your heart that you know should win the day, because we know that evil can only be crushed by good people when good people rise and good people say enough is enough. And I think we're reaching that point. And so I think this is real life, ladies and gentlemen. There's no Captain America coming to save us. This is our fight. It's a tireless one, as freedom will always be under attack. It'll never stop. We're at sort of an apex, I feel, right now, where the world forces have been forced to do this on a massive scale because of Trump for 4 years for some reason. And good people right now, I mean, are forced to be silent as censorship gains momentum. So here's what we need to do. We must be relentless, because every single day someone wants to take your freedom from you. We have seen right now, we are witness to the depths of power that people will abuse during this pandemic. You got teenagers telling older people to get out of the store because you're not wearing a mask, right? You need to fight that. We need to fight that. We need to tell those people they're on the wrong side. Do not be shy. Walk with your head high. I tell you what, I walk into the grocery store without the mask, and as soon as I open in that door, my chest pumps up and my head is higher, and I walk with a gait that is so solid and so proud, and I'm not afraid of a single damn person in there, and there could be hundreds of them all wearing a mask, and I don't care. I will walk out with my head high, and that's what we all need to do. The overreach has been seen by all. And now is the time for the masses to rise and take back their rightful place in determination of our life course. Today is one of those days. Every day is one of those days from here forward. And all Amen. These premiers and all these mayors and all these leaders, we're calling you out right now from this day forward. We're calling you out. You've made it personal. You've taken away our lifestyle. You've taken away our children's rights to live a decent life and to grow into a society that means something with love and compassion. You're trying to steal all that from us? Well, I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. All you stealers of our lives, you're going down, and you're going down big time, because the forces of love, compassion, empathy, and kindness will destroy your evil nature. We will take Amen. You down one at a time, and I'm so glad to see it happening. You've got Cuomo, you've got Maxwell, you've got all these people. It's all going to come to a head. Sooner or later, Amen. It's all going to blow in their face, and I can't wait, because I know in my heart I'm going to live to see the day, and I will be applauding it, and I will be happy to see military trials on television where these people go down the tubes. I can't wait. I know it's going to happen, and I just can't wait. In the meantime, be happy. Find something to do that makes your life worth something. I'll tell you what. I picked up a paintbrush and an easel, and I started studying art. I've been doing paintings and stuff, and I'm just loving it. It's a whole new thing. It gets rid of the stress. Find something. Somebody, find something that gets you away from the madness, make you feel better.
Time's up, Jurgen. I hate to say it, but that hour went by really quick. Got to thank you for coming in, buddy. I love talking with you, and I look forward to our next conversation, which I hope will be very soon.
Great being on.
Okay, right, thanks, buddy.
Thanks
always
for
a pleasure.
Me. Thanks for okay. having me.
Okay. Thanks, Jurgen. Bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, folks, thanks for tuning in today. I've really enjoyed being here with you guys, and I hope we've been able to share some knowledge and some information today that maybe you haven't heard. Let's all go away from this conversation today with our heads up. Take those masks off. Make a stand. It's very, very important that we do that at this particular time in history. There is so much to lose. So join us. Thanks very much. And I'll be back next week. Same time, same place. God bless you all. Have a great week. Love you. Bye for now.